Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Well, it should be Ian Lee, but it's just me here on my own sim. We were all ready to go, and technology has intervened. But in the meantime, you can give us a call. We're on 0344 499 1000. Basically, this is a show where we don't tend to throw out talking points. We don't tend to have an agenda.
I'm going
to make a hang on, I can hear you talking, Ian. As long as you come on and you are not libelous and you don't swear.
Woo! I'm back,
pretty
baby!
Pretty much whatever you want.
I'm back, baby! I'm back in business, baby! I tell you where I've been. They tried to silence me. The Chinese government tried to silence me, Catherine, because I know the truth. And you know what? They could not silence me. They could silence me for a couple of minutes, but they couldn't permanently silence me, because tonight I'm going to tell the truth about China and COVID-19 and what's been going down. I know the truth. I've seen the documents, Catherine, and I am back, baby.
These documents you've seen, are they on a YouTube documentary? Because we've got a few callers who've seen those documents too.
I cannot reveal my sources. I had the system set up wrong. I had the system was sabotaged, and it was someone had I have a Huawei phone, and I think the Huawei phone had given the Chinese, a corrupt Chinese government, access to my home computer system, and they had set me to another microphone, to the incorrect microphone. And
So what really happened? You didn't plug the right thing in.
What happened is, here's what happened. Dan Wooten started asking uncomfortable questions. Yes. He started asking uncomfortable questions. And so now the Chinese know that talk radio is not to be messed with. And they're trying to silence us. They are trying. Here's a message for China. You'll never silence me, China.
Oh, don't. Don't mess. Don't tangle.
Feeling feisty, feeling spunky today. I've worked out 03444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call, by the way. I've worked out, Catherine.
Yeah, yes.
That I'm all right. What's all that noise in the background?
What noise?
I think that was still my echo reverberating. That's some echo.
Just you being super noisy.
I've worked out. I'm all right with lockdown. You know, I was really depressed last week and I nearly went mad and I nearly, I didn't nearly relapse at the weekend, but I certainly was thinking about drugs a lot and booze. I've worked out it's not lockdown that's got me down.
What's got you down?
You being a dick. No, it is not lockdown. I'm all right with lockdown, right? I've hit two meetings yesterday, two meetings today, and I had a great session with my therapist, right? And I'm in a very fortunate position. But you know what? I'm going to stop saying I'm in a very fortunate position when I talk about the stuff that I do that is fortunate to my life, because I do it all the time, and it feels like I'm apologizing to people for being in a fortunate position. I'm not. I'm just in a fortunate position, so I'm going to stop doing it.
And guess what? The people you're apologising to think you're a stuck-up what's it anyway, so there's no point.
So it dawned on me today. Oh, by the way, I've made peace with my dad's side of the family, and I'm back in the family again. Sorry, that was a bombshell. I forgot that happened on Monday, I think, and I forgot to tell you. It's no big deal. I'm just, you know,
it's quite a big deal.
Side. Yeah, it's not a big deal.
It's quite a massive deal.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. I'm just back in with that side of the family, and I'll explain all later on. I just forgot to mention it to you. That's all. No big deal. So it's dawned on me. It's not lockdown that's got me depressed. It isn't. I was thinking it was lockdown, and I was getting up and, you know, just sitting down and watching loads of Brooklyn Nine-Nine and then going back to bed and then getting up and being miserable. And it's not lockdown. Excuse me. It's not lockdown that's got me miserable, because my lifestyle at the moment, apart from a few things, is pretty much how it was before lockdown. There are a few exceptions. I like to go out to Costa and have a coffee, sit there with my lappy. Sometimes I like to go out for a lunch. I can't see my kids as much as I would like, but actually I'm seeing them quite a bit. I don't get to see my partner. I don't get to travel into work, and I don't get to see you. Those are kind of the main things, right? But generally, my lifestyle today is pretty much the same as it was 6 weeks ago and as it was 6 months ago, right? So the thing that's got me down isn't the enforced lockdown. The thing that's got me down is there's like a private thing going on, which I will discuss with you off air. But the main thing is the fear. This is what it is. It's the fear of me and my mum getting this illness and dying. That's the fear. Right now, the fear of my mum getting this illness and dying. Yeah, that's pretty real. And it's, you know, I'm sure if we were to look at the stats, yeah, it's pretty high. She's a woman approaching 70 who's in a care home with, who's immunocompromised. The chances of me getting the disease and dying, well, they're significantly slimmer, but there is still a realistic possibility, however slim, that could actually happen. Right. Both of those things, at this precise moment in time, I'm completely powerless over. But those are the things, the main things, and just the sadness that there's a global pandemic, you know. But those are the main things that have got me down. But I thought it was the lockdown that had got me down. And once I'd made the connection that the lockdown isn't really, apart from those key areas, isn't really impacting on my life, well, then I can start to enjoy it, baby girl. I can start to have fun with it. I can start living the dream. I've been streaming. I stream myself sleeping. I stream myself playing video games. I've been doing online meetings. I've been reading this Bruce Lee book. I've ordered a garden hose and some soil. Yeah, that's right.
So you're going to make some mud?
I'm going to make mud. No, I'm going to do that. But, you know, I've got that big bare patch in the lawn where there was a tree. Yeah. And yeah. I was saying to Betty, my neighbour, well, I need some rain to, get, you know, to wash away all the sawdust and I can get grass in there. She said, well, you need a hose. I went, of course I need a hose. I bought a hose. You know, I've got all these big old pots that the woman who lived there before left. Mm-hmm. Well, I was speaking to our friend whose name has completely escaped me, and I'll remind me in a second, and I said, I've got some pots, what do I need? He said, you need some multi-purpose soil, and you need these plants are really easy to grow, and even an idiot can do it. And so I bought, well, he was accurate.
Yeah, you want low maintenance. You don't want to be, you know, some people enjoy plants that you go in and you know are going to die. I like plants that go in and you don't have to touch them and they still look brilliant.
Yes, exactly. It's our friend, the Skinny Jean Gardener, who sent us a book each for about kids and gardening. And I have made a big revelation that actually I'm all right. I'm all right. There's a few things that I'm not all right about. They're out of my control. So I have to pray to my higher power and hand it over. But the thing that I thought was getting me down isn't the thing that's getting me down.
Well, that's brilliant that you've had this breakthrough. Can you remember that you've had this breakthrough, please?
Hang on a minute. Chelsea Peretti's just released a song. Can we listen to a snatch of it?
Go on.
This is my favourite actress.
I don't know who she is.
She's in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. She's the hottest worker.
Yeah.
Sorry?
You have oat milk. I really wanted oat milk in my coffee drink this morning. Do you have the oat milk?
Oat milk, magic, silky pleasure. It steams texture.
It's a song about oat milk. I'm in. I'm totally in.
Just shows you can't be good at everything.
What I'm saying is, Catherine, is
I've seen
you.
A thing online. What?
I love you. I love you. Sit back. I want you to sit. What are you sitting? Kath, I want you to describe the scenario that you're in right now, because I've got a gift for you. Okay, I've got a word gift for you. Describe what you're wearing. Describe everything. Describe everything. No, leave no detail out.
I'm wearing blue jeans, no shoes. Ooh, white t-shirt from our friend Fiona that designs wicked t-shirts. Yep. Vamp, and it says peace out on it in embroidery. Yep. I've got specs on. Yep. My hair is down. I have put a little bit of makeup on. I smell great. But I'm lie not massively floor. Clean.
Lie on the floor for me.
Why?
I want to bathe you with love.
Lie right, on the I'm floor. Sitting on the dining nope. room chair. Let me...
Lie on
I
the
floor. I don't
know
if my thing will stretch.
Lie on the floor. My thing will stretch, trust me. Lie on the floor. This is
oh,
this
hang
is
on. Oh, hang on.
There we go.
All right, hang on. Keep going. I'm down.
Yeah, you're lying on down. The floor. I'm okay,
on the floor.
Okay. I want you to close. I want you to close your eyes now.
I don't know if I like this.
Close your eyes.
I'm closed.
Right. What I want you to do is, I just want you to take a nice deep breath in, and then I want you to slowly exhale that deep breath that you just took in. Push. That means push it out.
I know what exhale means, mate.
Okay.
Why have you gone down a barrel?
I've been listening to meditation apps. I'm meditating you, right? I'm giving you a love bath.
I'm giving you a love. You give me a what now?
I'm giving you a love bath. All right.
I did not sign up for this.
So, Catherine, I want you to know that I love you. I love you with all my heart. Laughing is not that. Hang on. No, that was my bad. Sorry.
No one's ever said this to me from down a barrel, that's all. I'm just excited.
One of the reasons I love you is your laugh.
Oh.
So hearing you laugh brings me joy.
Okay.
It makes me very happy. And every time I hear you laugh, I love you more. You are a wonderful human being.
What are you doing?
You are talented. You have hair.
I do.
You make me so proud to be existing on this rock spaceship at the same time as you. I want you to hear these words and feel them cascading over your face.
Oh no, not the face.
Your shoulders, your bosoms.
Oh, keep off!
Your womanly thighs.
Right, no, stop. They're getting and, more womanly because of this lockdown.
And down your butt crack.
No.
I, Ian Lee, multi-award winning radio presenter and
me.
Champion of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, I love you. And you are valid.
I
validate you. I am validating you right now.
Thanks. Can I get up now?
This is Talk Radio. Oh, we just did that break. Okay. That is
can I get
a
off
love
the floor,
bath.
Please?
You can get off the floor. Yeah. You
is
can get off the floor.
Is this what happens in your sessions?
I just made this up. I just made that up, and it's brilliant. It's called a love bath.
Okay.
And if anyone wants a love bath tonight,
why do I feel dirty?
Phone up. 03444991000. I'll give you one. A love bath. No. I'll give you a love bath. That's what we'll do. That's what we're going tonight, Catherine. Love bath territory. I don't know if you want to say anything back to me about that.
I could do with a shower. You poured that love on my face.
Yep. And down your womanly thighs.
No. All right, now you have to get on the floor.
I could have said manly thighs and I would have been factually correct.
Oh, okay. Now you get on the floor. I've got
you want me to get on the floor. I can get on the floor. Yeah. Well, what are you doing? You're using a toilet roll or something?
No, I'm using a glass, big one, pipe pot. How does this work?
I'm on the floor. Oh yes, baby.
Ready? You ready to receive?
You sound like Darth Vader.
Are you in the receiving position?
Oh, should I be on my front?
I don't know how you do it. Whatever makes it easier for this to go in. Ian Felix Diamond Lee, could you stop laughing while I try and pour this on you?
Oh, Cass, give me a love bath, everybody. Look at me.
It's more of one of them baths that your mum used to do when you was small enough to get in the sink. All right, just don't sit on the plug because that's quite knobbly. Ian Felix Diamond Lee, what can I say about the...
Oh, yeah, Shakespeare, baby.
Special person with hair and teeth, skin in all the right places.
It's not in all the right places.
Some of the wrong ones. Well done for not being so much of a knobhead anymore. I like the fact you're working on yourself. I love your giggle. I can't really be dealing with the farting, but even that is something I'm prepared to put up with.
I just did one.
I know you did. I can smell it from here. You're a delightful presence in my life.
Oh, I love
Could you stop doing that, please?
Oh, sorry.
I'm now going to pour this on your face, general hair area, behind your ears, because I haven't seen water for quite some time.
That's true.
And in your belly button, just for fun. Well done, everyone. Up you jump. You loved on that. Bye.
Great, man. I'm soaking with love. Absolutely.
Sorry about
covered
that.
In it.
That's a little bit messy. I've never done that before.
I'm covered in it. if anybody, I think we're onto something here. If anybody wants a love bath, hang on a minute. I know someone who wants a love bath. Alan, do you want a love bath?
No, thank you.
Oh.
You've got to be ready to be receiving. If you're not, that's fine. I'm not going to make anyone have a bath that doesn't want one.
I was ringing about your gardening bike, Ian.
My gardening a bike? What?
No, you're taking up gardening.
Well, I've got a dead patch on the lawn where I want grass to grow, and I've got some pots.
So
and I've got.
Doesn't mean you got a damn patch, Kath.
No, do you know what happened? Last year we had a big paddling pool out and it killed the grass, made it stink, killed the grass, and it's never come back. So
because one of those common families that leaves the paddling pool out all summer. And
it's big and it's heavy and it's not got a plug in it, yeah, so yeah.
But anyway, listen, Skinny Jean Gardner has got a book out, and I'm going to thank him, How to Get Kids Gardening. Well, screw that. I nearly said screw the kids, you can't say that. But screw that.
Please.
I'm going to use that kids book to get me gardening.
Have you ever thought about getting an allotment in the garden?
An allotment in the garden? That's not a thing. You mean like a vegetable patch?
Yeah.
Yes, I have thought about it, and I've grown vegetables before.
Yeah, because, you know, me and my dad's got an allotment, and we grew some champion tomatoes last year.
Here's the thing. I have grown vegetables before, but you grow... To grow, like, not many vegetables... What is funny, Catherine?
I grew some potatoes in a tub once because I used to work on a gardening programme and they filled my head with ridiculous ideas. And it took me ages and I got lots of leaf and I was all excited. And when I pulled them up, they were crap and I would have done better just to buy some potatoes.
You know, well, this is it. But you know you can grow potatoes in a sack.
Mm.
You just get a sack of dirt and put a potato in there
and
it will grow more potatoes. But
they're not as good as potatoes grown by someone who's been growing them for centuries.
Someone who's put a lot, because you just can't get those chemicals in the shop that the farmers use. That's the problem. No. Yeah. So, no, the amount of effort you have to put in and heartache to grow some, like, 4 strawberries, 5 tomatoes, and then to keep finding potatoes for the next 20 years, it's a lot of effort. It is a lot of effort, Alan. So no is the answer to your question. Look, I think the question was, will I grow vegetables? The answer is no, I will not. I will buy them.
Well, if you ever need some onions, we can grow you some mammoth onions.
Sorry?
If you ever need some onions, we can grow you some mammoth onions.
If I ever need some onions, I'll go and buy them from Tesco Onion Department.
There's no charge with me.
Who is that in the background?
No, I'm sitting in the hall. I mean, Mum and Dad's got to tell you I'm in the room. No, I'm going in the kitchen where it's quieter.
Okay, thanks for your call, Alan. 03444991000. I think he said he was pissing in the hallway, but I'm not 100%. No, it's not Alan. Listen, shush. Who's that?
Well, you know, I live with other people. There is a virtual pub going on upstairs.
You let Alan take the rap because
No. That was... I've got a boyfriend.
You've got a boyfriend and you let Alan take the rap?
Shut up. It's not. No, that noise was Alan.
Hang on.
It was his mum.
We have been rude, Catherine. We have been rude.
Hang on a minute.
You should have told him to shut up.
Could you keep it down a smidgeroo, Plaz?
F off, Kath, you silly old cow.
Huh? We have... We weren't listening, and we weren't making rude comments behind your back. We have been very rude, Catherine, and we've forgotten something.
To whom?
To Samson.
Why?
Sam?
Yeah?
Lie on the floor, buddy. You're going to get a love bath from me.
Oh!
Come on, mate.
Okay. Oh, hang on. I don't know how I'm going to... I have to lie on with headphones.
Yeah, so we've all done this, mate.
Important.
It's not that tricky. You lying on the floor, Sam?
Oh, hang on, my headphones don't work.
Pardon?
Sam.
Well, hang on a minute. Can you hear us?
I can hear you now. I'm trying to get my headphones to work because as soon as I put my microphone on, it cuts you out the speakers.
What? Can you hear us? Hello?
Yeah, I can
hear
you.
Hello, Sam? Hello?
I think we should just assume he can hear us.
But if he can't hear us, can you hear us?
He can't lie on the floor and put his fade up at the same time.
Sam, can you hear us? Because we're getting angry tweet texts now. Someone whose phone number ends 0092 says, "You are both so unfunny, it beggars belief. Pathetic. Why and how are you still employed?" Because we win awards.
Right, I got it. I'm good.
Right. Okay.
Hit me.
Are you lying on the floor, Sam?
Yes.
Sam, I want you to imagine that I'm standing above you with one foot either side of your head.
Yeah, I've got one foot on your forehead.
I'm looking down at you, and you're looking up at me. And I'm spraying my love all over you.
I advise you to pinch your nose.
I love your cheeky face. I love your suspiciously black hair. I love your tiny, wiry frame that looks like it belongs to a 14-year-old girl. Kath, do you want to have a go?
I love your wry sense of humour. I love the fact that you and your dad have got an ongoing popping out on each other feud going that's been going on for years, and your commitment to it is such that it can take days, like hiding in a cupboard before you pop out. I like your comic book shoes. I like your profile that looks like it was done by Quentin Blake. I like you, Sam. I think you're wicked.
We love you, Sam. We think you're wicked.
Thanks, guys.
Now you can get up and towel yourself off like a good boy.
Lovely.
That's it.
Thank you.
Love bathing. Someone whose phone number ends 4333 says, "Why you laugh like a girl?" And I say, "Why you text like a twat?" 03-44-499-1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. This is the Late Night Alternative. It's the only show giving out love baths right now on Talk Radio.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03-44-499-1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, you'd be very welcome. That's better. Catherine, what have you brought to tonight's hoedown showdown, I'm calling tonight's show. The hoedown showdown. And just to clarify for younger people, hoedown is not a depressed sex worker. It's like an old-fashioned sort of... Cowboy dance, really. So we're having like a cowboy dance. Although if there are any depressed sex workers that would like to chat to us, you'd be very welcome. But tonight, I'd really rather talk to upbeat cowboys. Catherine, what have you got? Hello?
Hello. Bombshell fine.
Can I ask a favour? Yeah. Here's my favour to you. Just don't mute the microphone. Just don't mute it.
It's none of your business.
No,
do what I want.
Don't
you're not my boss.
Mute it. But you forget to unmute it.
Sometimes
and you've done that quite quite a few
times. Mostly,
I've
done it like three times. But thanks tonight. For drawing attention to it. I am fallible. I am human. I think that's what you loved about me, or is that one of the things hate?
I've gone off you now. You don't want me to do a hate bath. It's disgusting and very smelly.
I've had so many of those.
Please.
Stonehenge news, everyone. Stonehenge news. Brace yourselves. It's news from Stonehenge, which is quite old.
Yes, sir.
Stonehenge, this is according to the Daily Star, so it must be true. Stonehenge's massive stone slabs were slotted together just like ancient Lego, according to Lego. No, according to conservationists.
But there's massive gaps between them.
Wait for it. Maybe they.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Maybe like in many Lego kits, there are fewer of the like sixes or whatever, and they nick them for something else. A rare picture of a giant stone at Stonehenge from above has revealed a series of slots and holes were used to join the monument like an early version of the building brick toy, Lego.
I would say they're more like Duplo.
Yeah, they're big and chunky, yeah.
Yeah.
The fascinating image shows an aerial view of one of the sarsen blocks, with markings similar to those of a mortise and tenon joint for clearly visible. That's one for the joiners. They're having fun upstairs, aren't they? Posted on social media by English Heritage, the accompanying caption states that protruding lumps, oh man, tell me about it,
would have been used story.
To connect with the holes. Like Lego. Shut up. Stonehenge, which, by the way, is located near Amesbury in Wiltshire, and you can only get to it if you are like one of 26 chosen people.
You can only stand in the centre of it, otherwise you have to be 500 metres away.
Was it 500? I thought it was 150.
Well, I think since lockdown they've increased the distance.
It's estimated to have been built around 3000 BC, thousands of years before the iconic toy blocks were invented, of course, remember everybody.
Yeah.
In a tweet, English Heritage says, "This is a rarely seen view of the top of one of the giant sarsen stones. The protruding tenons are clearly visible, and the corresponding horizontal lintel stone would have had mortise holes to slot into." A bit like early Lego, exclamation mark.
Yeah.
They made it fun, and the Star has run with it. I like it. A mortise and tenon joint functions, Ian, by inserting one end of a piece of material, usually wood,
I know how mortise
into a hole in another piece. They just explain joints.
I know how joints work. You get three Rizzlers and you make like a T-shape.
Oh, sad news. The popular tourist spot is currently closed due to stop the spread of the deadly coronavirus. But ordinarily, 26 lucky people will be allowed to stand in the middle of it while everyone else stands at least 150 feet away.
I wonder, and just bear with me, I was listening to Howard Hughes the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And it got me thinking, what if they put people into the centre, 26 people into the centre of Stonehenge? We don't know what Stonehenge is for, right? We've never known. So you put people in Stonehenge. Half of them have got COVID-19. The other half do not. Mm-hmm. And we study. We study the effects of the spiritual energy from Stonehenge on the people that are in there, and maybe, just maybe, Stonehenge is the answer to the coronavirus.
Okay, everybody else first. I'll stand back and observe.
Okay, yeah. It could be... I just need to mute my mic. There we go. You know it.
You had three curries today, didn't you?
I did. I had a... Hey, do you remember this guy?
I have to say this because he's a friend of mine. Ian Lee.
No, we're not friends. I had a curry tonight. I thought, I'm hungry, fancy Indian food. I'll order one. And I had a nice curry and I disinfected, I wiped it all
yourself.
Down. Yeah, I did. And they keep giving me beer. They always give me beer. I don't want beer.
No. What are you going to do with it? It's troublesome, isn't it?
Well, I got rid of it.
Good.
I necked it in one, and that way, there's no temptation in the house. 03444991000. Again, apparently, Elon Musk's Starlink's satellites were out in force tonight, and I know this because I went on Facebook as I was logging in to the intricate computer system that we use here to broadcast the award-winning late night alternative, and. There was a post on a local Facebook page from 7 minutes before I logged in saying, "Oh, I've counted 42 of the satellites and they're green." I thought, right, I'm having this. So I went out and I couldn't see them anywhere. So I don't really know. Does anyone know? And by the way, no one ringing. Does that mean that we're like, does that mean, that either means one of three things. One, we're really good. Two, we're really bad. Three, the phones aren't working. It's one of those.
I think they're a bit intimidated by the love bath idea. I mean, no one is going to be bathed that doesn't want it.
No, it's not compulsory.
So don't be worried about that.
But in many ways, it's like being baptised by Jesus, is all I will say. So I missed Elon Musk's Starlink again, and I'm starting to get pretty bored of this guy and pretty bored with rushing out to my garden a few minutes after something spectacular has happened. And also, I still can't quite get over the fact that it's legal for anyone just to fire any old crap up into space and put on like a space show, that anyone can do that.
Yes, it does seem immoral, doesn't it? And messy.
Yeah, it does.
But that's life. Life is immoral and messy, guys. Get used to it.
That's life. Here's the problem I'm finding with the show. One, two problems. One, my co-worker is an idiot.
Sam. Two, Sam is lovely.
Let me give you a dilemma, Catherine, because I can see who's phoning in.
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't know. Well, we know the phones work.
Who is it?
Rainbow George.
Oh, go on then.
What do you reckon?
Well, we could try love bathing him.
Oh, God, imagine.
It's going to take some time, but I'm willing to try.
Let's love bath. Let's love bath him. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's show that we're the better people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Normally when we do the show, we come on and we talk about our life and what we've done, and we cleverly weave it into stories, and we get, you know, quite wise philosophical thoughts out of it, and we generate calls. Unfortunately, apart from reconnecting with my entire dad's side of the family and making peace, and we'll get to that later, it's no big deal. Apart from that, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. Nothing is going on.
I don't know. In our lives. Well.
Are you busy doing something else? I thought we were doing the radio show. I just hear you tippy-tappy tipping away.
No. I'm keeping the score, what's called the score, the recap. I'm having a little moment of rediscovery of my painting. I'm also... in a continual grapple for supremacy over the cat.
This is what I hear.
This is what my days are full of.
Okay, well, can I just say, while I'm doing the show with you, right, mm-hmm. This is what is constantly coming down in my headphones.
Typewriter, tip, 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 karta hai. Zindagi ki har kahani likhta hai.
Typewriter, tip, 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 karta hai.
That's all I can hear.
I think that's pretty good. I wish that was my inner voice.
Oh, Kath, I think I've gone crazy.
Go on.
I'm crazy. And I tell you why, because I just looked round and I remembered that earlier on today I was smearing fecal matter all over my books.
Were you? Why?
I think I've gone crazy. Let's take a break. This is Talk Radio.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Come in, Ian Lee. Are you there, Ian Lee? Why has it all gone quiet? This worries me. This worries me very much. Are you being annoying or are you having problems? Oh! What's with the door slam? What's with the door slam?
Someone sent me, two people have sent me, and they're scumbags and I'm blocking them. Derek and the Dominoes. Derek and Philip sent me a link to an app that will show me where all the satellites are, and it said that I could see them now.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
I had to be in Scotland. So, I just went out to the garden to try and see these satellites, and I couldn't see them. So, I don't think science is real.
No. I mean, we know that now, don't we?
Yeah.
Should we talk to a caller? Oh, 03444991000, by the way, if you want to give us a ring. I mean, we're not going out anywhere, so if you fancy
hang on a second. 1965 texted, sort your microphones out. One second it's very quiet, the next it's very loud. I tell you what, 1965, sort your ears out!
Oi-ya-ya.
Piece of trash. We're doing this from home. There's a flipping global pandemic. We're doing the show from our living room, so why don't you stick it up your ass?
What's his name? It's a him.
1965.
1965. We're all lucky to be alive. Stop being so pernickety.
Oh,
God!
Damn it. Count your blessings before I count the punches to your face and my fist. Go on then, you do it. You wanted him on, you do it.
03444991000 if you want to give us a ring. It might go something like this. Hello, George.
Hi, Kev.
Hey, what's going on?
Life.
Yeah, for some people.
Well, all people.
No, not everyone that's dying from this disease that you think isn't that important.
Can I give you one verse from the Bible?
Oh, no, come on.
Verse.
No.
The links to
what? No. Let's not go there. Let's talk about something different.
Ian just brought up my opinion about death.
Yeah, and we've gone over that twice, maybe three times, and it's objectionable every time. Let's talk about something different.
I would like to be given the chance to explain what I think. And
you've explained it quite a few times, and I think your views on the current coronavirus and what's happening, I think, are abhorrent.
Yeah, well, can I just quote this one verse from the Bible, please?
No, you can tell us in your own words, not quoting the Bible.
It's a verse that tells...
I don't want you quoting the Bible.
I'm not quoting it.
Do you know what I'd really love, George? If we could just have a conversation like normal people. The thing is, you want to give a lecture. And also, it's not a lecture where you can ask questions and maybe have, a change of heart halfway through it. It's your way or you get an annoyed way. So let's not do this. Let's just talk about what it's like in real life rather than in books like the Bible.
What, you think the Bible is just a book? Is that your...
Again, let's not do this lecture. Let's not have a lecture. Let's have a conversation.
Yeah, but you don't want to have a conversation.
I want to have a conversation, but you always want to come on and do a monologue. And we know this because you'll take it elsewhere if you don't do it here.
I don't want to do a monologue. I'm just planning a one-hour film.
Yep. Yeah, okay. Good luck with that. Let us know when it's out and we'll watch it. But we're not going to, you always give us stuff to do when it comes to your projects. Let's talk about something else. What have you actually done today?
Make you feel proud.
Did a bit of shopping, but that's about it. And just thinking about things. These are very interesting.
Who do you talk to that's not on the radio?
Sorry?
Who do you talk to that's not on the radio?
Oh, various people. I do have a few friends out there.
Do you phone them, or are they people that live in your building?
I phone them.
Okay. You don't have to say it like that. I'm just interested.
Yeah. No,
are they people you've known for a long time?
Yes, of course. It's... I wish Ian would go back to being kinder.
It's funny that you can't talk to me without bringing him into it.
You're together. It's your program together.
Yeah, I know, but you are using me to... You're bypassing me to try and have a dig at him.
I'm not digging at him. I don't dig at either of you. I'm aware that you're not responsible for what goes on in your head. And
what?
And we're all being remotely controlled. Nobody knows.
Well, here we go into another one of your lectures. That's what you think, but you can't bear the thought that other people don't agree with you.
Nobody agrees with me. I'm on my own. But
what would it take to make you think that perhaps you might not have all the answers?
I was given the answers 44 years ago, and
you haven't changed your mind on anything in 44 years.
Not about what was revealed to me 44 years ago, and
we're back on this track, George. You see what's happening?
What's happening?
You're doing this lecture again that we've had.
I'm not lecturing. I'm trying to share some truth with you.
But you do the same thing every time. I want to talk about now.
I'm talking about now, and now I'm planning to make a 1-hour film. And
how are you doing that in lockdown, practically?
By speaking to people. I have an actor friend called Brian Faulkner. Do you know Brian Faulkner at all?
No, but when you've done it, we'd like to see it. But can we talk about something else?
Why talk about something else?
Because this is boring, George.
It's not
every
boring.
Time,
you don't
it is. These... You've been hammering on about the same thing every time you called us in some kind of permutation for, what, how long has it been? 2 years?
Yeah, well,
I mean, it's not normal, is it?
You're speaking to a 79-and-a-half-year-old man.
How old am I? How old am I, George?
Sorry?
How old am I?
40-something.
You don't even know.
I don't know, no.
How long have we been talking? 2-3 years, maybe?
Why should I know how old you are?
Because you don't care about anyone else.
I care about
everybody. You don't ask me anything.
I care about everybody else.
How many children have I got?
Two.
And boys or girls?
Girls. It's really strange, your attitude towards me.
I think it's very strange to have been having a conversation sometimes 3 times a week for 2 years and you don't know anything about me and you're not even interested. But I know all about your theory.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
But you know what's in my head.
Sorry?
Okay.
I'm a mystic. It's
what if you're not though?
Sorry?
What if you're not?
I am a mystic, and I'm a prophet. I don't know if I'm a false prophet or a true prophet, but I am a prophet, and I do see a wonderful future for all of us, and it's just strange that I'm not allowed to share that vision of a lovely future.
You've shared it every week for about 2 years.
What is my vision of the future?
I'm not going to repeat it, George, because it's tiresome to be repeating this so often.
How is it tiresome?
How many kids have I got again? And what are they, boys or girls?
Sorry?
Where did I work before here?
Where did you work before here?
I don't even know if you've got any children, George.
I don't have any children.
Okay. You never talk about anything other than this vision. And the vision is continually disappointing you. And I'm continually disappointing you because I'm not doing what you want or thinking what you want me to think.
Just trying to share some imagination. Everything comes out of imagination.
What about my imagination?
What about your imagination? I'm saying
exactly.
I'm looking to get people to share imagination of something beautiful.
No, but you're not interested in anyone's vision but your own.
You don't have any vision.
Okay.
Well, you don't. What's your vision of the world, the world's future? Simple question. How do you see the future of this world?
2 years it's taken you to ask me what I think about anything.
Well, I'm asking you.
Do you remember when you said I was, what was it? I'm no common sense or something.
Sorry?
Because I didn't agree with you. I think that we are floating around on a rock and that we are lucky to have arrived here. Just a simple accident of biology. And that we've got to make the best of what we've got while we've got it. No one knows how much time we've got. And the importance of someone's life is based on the impact, positive impact they have on other people. Other than that, we're just animals. We're just meat wagons.
I take faith in what I read in the Bible that tells me that the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. And
I know.
What do you mean, you know?
You've told me this before.
I've never told you this before.
Yes, you have. You said that you're ready to accept death, you're looking forward to it, and that's why you're not frightened of what's going on at the moment.
I'm saying the Bible says the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. So what could be a clearer statement than that?
Okay, thanks for calling, George. 03444991000.
Let's go to John. Good evening, John.
Hello?
Hello, John.
Hello, who's this?
Who's this? It says John on my screen. Have we got a wrong number?
No, not at all. You've got John and Vaughan here. Hello.
Hey.
Hello, guys.
You're late live on the late night lockdown.
The what? Hang on a minute. We're live on what?
On the late night lockdown.
On Facebook Live.
Sorry, I'm not going to
say that. It sounds very similar to the late night alternative.
Oh, really?
Yes, in the fact that the words are very, very similar.
Oh, late night.
Well, yes. I mean, do you own late night, Ian?
Mm-hmm. I don't own late night, but no one owns late night. What, the concept of late night? No.
So, what's your point?
Yeah, it's sewer.
Big boy.
Yeah, sewer. Send us a cease and desist. Yes.
Well, I'm not going to do any of those things. All I'm going to say is, all I'm saying is it sounds similar and very unimaginative. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, I suppose he's right.
It is right. Yeah, I try to tell him not to do that.
I'm you, Ian, and Vaughan is Kat.
Oh, Jesus.
Lucky Vaughan. You're living the dream.
I'd love
I know.
She's a wonderful person.
Ian, would you let
her? I'm beautiful, that's the trouble.
You always had a crush on her.
I have.
Esther Anson.
Esther Anson, her. Annabelle Giles.
Yes, Annabelle Giles, she's watching. Listen, Ian, would you give us a little mention on Facebook, eh?
No. Why are you giggling? Are you high on drugs? Have you been smoking pot?
By the way, we didn't know we were calling you. One of our callers called you, then put us through to you.
Yeah. But I don't understand. We thought you were ringing us, because otherwise we wouldn't...
Why would I do that?
Well, because, you know, I don't want to use the acronym RADJA, but, you know, you wanted a boost.
I
tell you what, do you know what? This whole show tonight is getting on my nerves. Why don't you speak to our next caller, Wayne? So say hello to Wayne and we'll shut up.
Okay, at last.
Hey, guys.
Hi, this is who?
How you doing?
How are you speaking to Vaughan and John? No, how are you doing?
I've gathered that. Are you both in an helium balloon?
No, we haven't. No, how are you doing, Wayne? Is that Wayne?
I'm good. Yes,
I'm good.
Shout
out, Wayne. A little shout out. Is your gran listening?
Have you got any requests?
Yes, we can play Black Beauty.
Yeah. Hang up.
What? Want to hang up?
Hello? Wayne.
No, you hang up.
Can we do one of our jingles?
No, you hang up.
Yes, play our jingle. Would you like to hear our jingle, Wayne, on our Facebook
page? I don't know if I'm sure I'm allowed to.
Here we go.
Can I just say something?
Copyright free.
Can I just say something? Will we get into trouble?
No.
Okay. I'm usually the one... No.
Non-Sethem with Jonathan Sullivan.
Wayne, we're on Facebook. Come and have a look. I look a little bit like Charity Shop Sue.
Yeah.
Your jingle sounds like the Moomin.
Oh,
Right, you keep saying you're live. I've spent the last 5 minutes trying to find you on Facebook, and I am unable to find you on Facebook. So your marketing campaign is... You're actually telling me you're rubbish.
Our whole marketing is
pretty rubbish.
Yeah.
Right, I've now given you the perfect opportunity to tell me where to go on Facebook to find you so that I can report you to Facebook and get you closed down.
Let me talk for my show. John O'Sullivan on Facebook. My picture, I do look a little bit like a sex offender, but my name's...
Oh, I found you. I found you.
Is that you, Ian? Ian and Kath are live on Late Night Love.
Hang on. This is... Hang on.
Facebook and get you closed down.
So I... I'm John. Hang on, let me talk for my show. Right. John O'Sullivan on Facebook.
Dear God, what has happened to this? Right,
this is the lockdown in action.
Annabelle Giles is actually messaging you on there.
Yes, she calls all the time.
Annabelle Giles is my fiance.
Yeah, those two are getting married.
Wow, is that the real Annabelle Giles? It looks like her.
Yes, it is her. Yes,
Kathy had a chance.
Ian, she calls all the deep shows. Call yours.
All right, cut them off now, please. They've had enough of a plug. Cut them off. Thank you very much indeed. Wayne, go away. Goodbye. Wayne, stay there. We'll come to you in a bit. 03444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. I feel after a really beautiful, loving start, Wayne and Arlene, stay there. We'll come to you in a bit. A really beautiful, loving love bath start that it's sunk into mediocrity, which is the greatest crime known to man. So we begin again. Finnegan, begin again. 03444991000. This is the Late Night Alternative Live with Vaughan and John. No, with balls. Maybe bugger it up. This is Talk Radio.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Hang on, because I made a... Hang on, everyone, stop, everyone. Oh, this is awful. This is awful. Kath, I then went to their show and tried to phone them up, and I was not treated as respectfully as we treated them, let's just say. She's muted her mic again. Unbelievable. 0344 499 1000, Late Night Alternative, Ian and Kath on Talk Radio. Mm-hmm.
You could do all the pain and strife, and you turn your back, you've gone so fast. Oh yeah. And you've gone so fast. Yeah, yeah. Oh, so long to the ones who really care. In the end, they'll be the only ones there. And when you get off, still is in your hair. Can you tell me who is still care? Yeah, yeah. Can you tell me who is still care?
Oh, 344-499-1000 late night alternative. late night alternative. I'm Ian Lee. Who are you, lady?
Catherine Boyle.
But you don't have any vision.
No, let's go. I don't have any vision, and yeah, I don't have any right to exist.
Let's go to Wayne. Wayne's got a right to exist. Wayne's a human being.
I am.
Wayne feels too often, and that's why his wife kicked him out. Yes, Wayne?
I'm feeling the love tonight.
Well, put it away, son. We've got business to deal with.
Great show. I'm not sure about the beginning. I was laid down and with that love bath for me 2 hours, piddled on my shoulder, so I ain't doing that much.
I was woken up twice in the night to one of my cats puking up.
No,
what a noise. It was George. It's because George goes out now and just eats any old crap he finds in the garden. So George is puking up everywhere.
Not good.
What can we do for you, Wayningtons?
I have took arrival of my midlife crisis today, my tuk-tuk, Ian.
Oh, the old tuk-tuk. Well done indeed. Have you been out for a little ride?
I can't. I've driven it round the lawn because I've got to get it registered, etc., etc.
Oh, it's an illegal tuk-tuk.
I want your sticker so I can put in the back window.
You want a what now?
I want some merch. I got a sticker so I can advertise
you. Ah, you want a late night alternative talk radio car sticker to put in the back of the tuk-tuk?
Yeah, I'd love one.
Yeah, well, you can't have one because it's not 1986 and we're not local radio, mate. Who does car stickers anymore? Who's done car stickers this century unless they're being postmodern, ironic and dumb?
True.
Well, what's that sorted?
Oh, another thing, the scanner.
Yes, sir. Yes.
The scanner.
Yes.
No good. All the police channels are scrambled. You're sounding like Donald Duck.
Oh, your life is just one big disappointment at the moment, isn't it?
No, it ain't. I'm happy. I'm chickity-boo.
Okay, good, good. Do you want a quick round of articulate?
A what, huh?
A quick round of articulate.
I'd love one.
Kath, do you want to explain to him what Articulate is?
No, because I don't know what it is. Is it like it's like Pictionary, but with words?
It's like Pictionary, but with words. So I'm going to... let me get the sound... What do they call it? The sound timer. What do they call it? Sand timer. Is that a thing? Stand timer.
Egg timer.
What do they call it?
A sand clock.
A sand clock, that's it. The sand watch. Sand watch. Let me get the sand watch to reset itself. Right. So we have got categories. Right, so I'm going to describe stuff to you, Wayne.
Yeah.
And I'm not allowed to say any of the words that are on the card.
Okay.
And you have to get as many as you can. Now, you can pick a category, please.
Pick a category. Pets.
That isn't one of the categories I've got. Pick another one, please.
Vehicles.
No, that's not one I've got. Pick another one, please.
What categories have you got?
Ah, that would probably help things. We have got the world... Person, random, nature, object, and action.
Random.
What, sorry?
Random.
Random, okay. So you've got to get as many of these as you can before the egg watch, the sand watch runs out. Ready?
Ready.
Steady, go. 60 minutes.
Okay.
No, that's not how long you've got. That's the first... That's the first clue. 60 minutes.
My love life.
What? Your love life? No, it's a measurement of time, and it equals 60 minutes.
Oh, an hour.
Correct. Okay. The opposite of an entrance.
Opening.
Time's up. Opening.
An opening.
Flipping heck.
The way your mind works, Wayne. Honestly.
Wayne, it was an exit.
You said the opposite of an exit.
No, I said the opposite of an entrance.
And you said an opening. Damn. Flipping it, Wayne.
Wayne, you got one. You got one, mate.
All right, thank you.
You're very welcome. 03444991000. Good evening, Arlene.
Hello, my friends. Hello,
Arlene,
Catherine.
Pick a category.
Shall I consult my Mr. Harry for this one?
Consult your Mr. Harry for this one, yeah, that's
okay.
A good idea.
Okay, I'll just get Harry.
Mr. Harry, please.
Yeah. He is quite a brain box. So
when you where does Mr. Harry wear a tie?
No, no.
Oh, he doesn't.
You're thinking of Dr. Harry.
No, I think he would look very smart. You know, Arlene, you know the long ties?
Oh, yeah.
What are the other ties called? The small little ties. What are they called?
Are they the... they're not the...
what's it called? The...
What one? The world.
No, not the world ties. They're like little... They're like tiny little ties that sort of go across in a line under the neck. What are they called?
Tiny little ties under the neck, Harry. He's quite clever.
I don't know. What do you mean?
No, he doesn't...
So you have the... There are two types of tie, aren't there? There's the long tie, Harry. And, Harry, there's also a smaller
you
tie.
You need to talk to him. He will just say that.
Hello? Say that.
Harry...
Yeah.
So, you know there's the Harry, the long tie. Well, Harry, what's the short little tie that goes under the neck? Professors wear it.
Dicky bows.
Oh, yes, that's right. If you had one, it would be a Haribo. Let me speak back to the lady of the house, please. Thank you.
Okay, I'm handing you back.
I got him there, Kath.
So what's your question? Because Harry's right on hand.
It's too late, Arlene. I've destroyed you both. And one day next week, you'll wake up. Right, so we're going to pick... You're picking the world, right?
We're picking the world, Harry.
Well, no, I don't know, are you?
No, I'm not. Well, I was ringing up about the joy and thing, but with the question, I will put you on the Mr. Harry because he is
we're playing it with you.
Oh, no, you better play with Harry.
I don't want to play with Harry.
Right, no, you've got to if you want.
Come on, Arlene. Come on, Arlene.
I work in the pub and they used to play Dexy's Runners.
Dexy's Military Runners? Man.
You work in a pub, therefore you have seen it all and you've heard it all.
Hang on.
You got the gift of the gab.
Guys, everyone, Arlene on me, please.
Oh, well, I tell you, we have had...
Arlene on me.
My sister tells me off for having gin before I phone you.
Oh, you shouldn't have Jim before. Who's Jim?
He's listened to you.
Is he a friend of Mr. Harry?
I will put you on to Mr. Harry.
I don't want to speak to Mr. Harry. I want to speak to Miss Arlene.
Oh, right. Well, I was ringing up about the best.
Which category would you like?
One of your subjects was a highlight of the lockdown day.
Yep. Which category would you like?
The world, she said.
The world. Okay, right. So your time starts... So you know the rules, okay?
No, I don't. What
go!
The time starts now. Trinidad and...
Tobago.
Oh, she's in! Okay, so there's two words. The second word is like a place by the sea that's covered in sand.
Seaside.
No, it's one word. So, right, it's two words. It's a place. The first one is the inside bit of your hand, and the second word is the bit by the sea that's covered in sand.
The palm.
Yes. Palm Beach. Palm Beach. You only got the same as Wayne. Imagine, that's awful.
Well, Wayne, we don't know, do we?
Can I play?
You can later on, Catherine, when we have no phone calls. When we have no phone calls.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It is fun. Yeah. Me and the kids love this. Me and the kids, in the old days, when we used to be allowed out, we'd go to the pub on a Sunday, order a roast dinner, and then sit at the table playing this while we waited for our food. It was the most fun.
Oh, do you know what? I miss being working in the pub so much.
This hasn't stopped you getting drunk, though, has it, Arlene?
I only worked in pubs where there was old guys.
Yeah, you love it. Because then you can pump off, can't you? Is it those the pumps where you pump off the beer? Arlene, what did you call in for tonight?
I called in to tell you that the greatest thing on the lockdown day that you had a theme going.
The greatest thing on the lockdown day, yes.
Lockdown daily was, last week I had a, what would you call it, bog brush haircut.
Oh, yeah.
And it became back to my Billy Whiz. Billy Whiz from the Beano. Billy Whiz.
Look like Billy Whiz from the Beano. Well,
my character when I worked in pubs. They knew me as the Billy Whiz
Billy Whiz is completely bald, apart from three strands of hair
like
sticking
Jimmy Somerville.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Elaine, lie on the floor. Get on the floor.
What, sorry?
Lie on the floor, please.
Yeah, the Billy Whiz.
No, lie down, please. On the floor.
Yeah. Oh, is he lying?
I'm not joking. I want you to lie down on the floor. We're going to give you a love bath.
No, you
are.
Kath is absolutely on fire tonight. I'm loving
this. Harry gives me a love bath every night.
You ain't seen nothing yet. Lie down. Shh, 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 shh. Lie down, please. Are you on the floor?
Me?
Yes, you.
Oh, you're giving me a love bath.
I am. I want to tell you something.
Why?
And I can only do it when you are on your back.
Well, I don't have any furniture that requires sitting on seats. I only have floor stuff, so that's
down,
quite easy.
Please. Lie down.
Right. I'm here.
Why are you resisting? Lie down, Arlene. Ready?
Yeah.
Arlene, your calls are, without fail, hilarious, warm, funny, full of love, and delivered with such charm that I cannot wait to hear you again. What I want for you now is to have a wonderful life full of laughter, probably booze, and Harry, because you deserve that. You are wonderful.
I am so touched.
Consider yourself love bath, my friend.
You might want to towel down, but you've been done.
I'm having a complete beautiful delight from what you said.
There you go.
Mission accomplished. 0344 499 1000. This is a very loving talk radio.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We just got to talk to our favourite cleaner, Rebecca. Oh, actually, put her on, Sam. Is she still there? Let's have a quick chat with her.
I didn't hear her.
Oh, did you not? I think it's because it kind of channels into one thing or something. Is Rebecca still there?
Yes.
Hey, Rebecca. You can hear Catherine now as well.
Yes, I can hear her.
How are you? We were just saying that our kids are safe, Kath, and that her boys are safe, and that she's been doing the homeschooling as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These are tough times, huh? How, I was asking you before the break ended, what is the building like? Because there aren't that many people there, are there?
No, there's no one here anyway.
Does that mean you can, like, skive off then?
No, not really. not really.
Good.
Yeah. And,
but you're all safe and well and stuff,
yes,
are you?
Yes, I'm fine. We are keeping safe.
safe distance, man. Yeah. It's weird, isn't it, huh?
Hey, we were joking about not hugging anymore and stuff. Right at the very beginning of this, and we were doing like the cool hand and leg shake thing.
And bum
shake. It turns out that was the safest way to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Rebecca,
yes.
you saved our lives. I swear to God, right? When we finally come back and when we're allowed to be near each other.
Yes.
You and me, A, we're going to get married. Yeah. But B, we are... Me... You, Kath, and all of your friends, including the very naughty one, we are going to just have the biggest group hug, and we're going to roll about on the floor, we're going to make a mess
course.
Everywhere.
Of course, I can't wait for that to come.
It's happening.
And the floor will be absolutely pristine clean, because there's no one walking on it.
No, it's very sparkling when you come back. I've done a proper general cleaning
here. It's so nice to hear your voice.
Nice
I was thinking
your
about
voice.
You over the weekend.
Okay,
send our love to your boys, won't
I
you?
I will, and you too. Say hi
Take
to
care, my love. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
0344 499 1000. I love Rebecca. The break was on, Kath, and I was just, you know, I was had the headphones on and was miles away. Then suddenly I heard this voice just going, hello, hello. I'm thinking, we've been hacked. Someone has somehow hacked into the system. But it was lovely Rebecca. So
that woman is a joy. She is a joy.
She's great. She's a great human being, and is a delightful mum, and all of her team are just wonderful. And it kind of brings it home, doesn't it? You know, the what we're missing and how much has changed. This is, by the way, Sam, we just missed David Babcock. I don't know if you want to try and get him back on. I'm not that bothered. I'll leave that one up to you. But I tell you what's amazing is how normal this lifestyle seems now. Now, if you'd have told us at Christmas, say, the beginning of the year, in three, four months' time, no one's going to be allowed to leave the house. You will not be allowed to stand closer than 6 feet to anyone. And pubs, restaurants, shops, everything will be shut. You just wouldn't believe it, right? And you'd think, well, that's insane, and that's never going to happen. How would we cope with that? And now, I was thinking about this today, how normal this has become.
Yeah, it's true. I'm hoping that in a year's time, it will seem weird that we were ever like this. I'm hoping in a year's time, this will start to fade a little bit. But
I should be taking more pictures. I should be recording this more, and I have been unable to. Maybe that's something, because we will forget what this is like. One of the joys, you know, Geeky Pete, who collects old VHS tapes.
Yeah.
And one of the joys of that is that he will stumble across news broadcasts from about 1987,
yeah,
up to about 1999. It's kind of the VHS period, with a little bit either side. And you'll get news story. You'll get the 10 o'clock news will be on some of those tapes. And you go, oh, I remember the poll tax riots, or I remember that. But there'll be nothing like that for this. There'll be no lost VHS tapes of lockdown, of, you know, Good Morning Britain being done from Piers Morgan's house or whatever it is. I've not watched it. But you know what I mean? There'll be no the images that, unless we record them ourselves, the images we get of this in 10, 15, 20 years time will be the images that the television companies want us to see.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They will pick the ones that tell their story the best.
Yeah, either that or they'll be taking people's pictures off Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah. Strange old time. Let's go to Fran. Good evening, Fran.
Hey, out!
Oh, flipping.
Finally.
It's only been 13 minutes, Fran.
Yeah, only 13 minutes. I'm just turning the radio off.
That's a good girl.
How are you?
Oh, I'm hot.
Good.
Wow. Okay.
What about Articulate?
Yep. What about it?
Can we play?
Nah, I got a bit bored of it. I put it away. I was joking. Pick a category, Fran.
I will have object, please.
Object. That's the light blue. Right. I think. Yep. See, I think this is the easiest category, right?
Okay. I'll do geography then.
What just happened?
Which
there?
One's what?
That's the have world, it, then, is it?
Well, no, but you can have it if you want to have it.
Okay.
I'm not having a go at you. I'm just saying, what I was saying was, I think you've made the right choice by having object.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right, so which one would you like?
Geography.
Oh, my God. All right, world. Okay, are you ready?
World, yeah.
Okay, here we go. It's a shop that used to be owned by Muhammad Al-Fayed.
Harrod.
It is an island, I think, and it's hot. It might be in the lyrics of Kokomo. I'm not totally sure, actually. They talk like that, man. And that's all I can tell you. They talk like that, and it's not Jamaica.
Jamaica.
No, it's not Jamaica.
Hawaii.
It's not Hawaii. I got to stop doing the voice, man.
Trinidad.
No, not Trinidad. What did you say before Trinidad?
Tobago.
It was Barbados.
I thought it was Barbados.
So that was a good clue, Kath.
It was a great clue, yeah.
Great clue. Okay. Do you want one more for luck?
Here we go.
One more, because that was a tough one. Okay. It's a place. It's one word. It's Kath's favourite hobby. It's near. I think it's near Thailand. I think it might be in Thailand. Kath's favourite hobby is in Thailand. Begins with a B.
Bangkok?
It was Bangkok.
That is not my favourite hobby.
It was Bangkok, it's but we can't give you that, hobby. I'm afraid, Fran. Fran, thank you so
I
much.
Bangkok!
Yeah, but the time was up. I just wanted to make a cheap joke about...
No.
Thank you, Fran. Bye. 03444991000. I like Fran. I mean, absolutely bonkers.
She doesn't
like
you.
Fran. No. Oh, God, she doesn't, does she? She hates me. Absolutely hates me. It's David Babcock.
Yay!
Jesus Christ, that was a nice welcome.
Yay!
All right. You ruined it with pointless blasphemy, which I apologise to our Christian listeners for. I've got issues, David, in as much as I haven't been streaming regularly recently. And I've been, now I'm starting streaming, and I'm getting the same online figures at twitch.tv/IanLee. Getting the same online figures at twitch.tv/IanLee as you're getting on your website. I forget the URL. And I need, this needs to end. This needs to end. I'm getting similar figures to you, and I'm a big star, and you're a nobody. You're a jabroni. So how are we going to sort this out, big man?
Well, this will be the fourth time in a row that I've had to remind you that I'm nowhere near your figures.
Mate, I'm getting, because I'm getting around 70. You're getting around 70.
Yeah, well, I get around 30, and you know.
You get around, I watched you the other day, and you got around 67.
Right, well, that must have been a very rare occasion.
You're getting consistent, and it's highlighting my inconsistency.
Well, I'm not that consistent. I've not been on today or yesterday.
You're painting, that's why. Pick a category.
Well, after that, can I give you a little quiz question?
Yeah, go on. Excuse me.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. I would like the category of film and TV.
Okay. You've got action, object, nature, random, person, or world?
Person.
Okay, person. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okie dokie. And your time starts now. Tiny woman, lived in a hot country, possibly a con man, may have siphoned away lots of money. Correct. Posh twat, actor. His dad's a famous actor. He was the Chancer.
He was the Chancer?
He was one of the characters he played, I think, was called the Chancer. His dad was in, I don't know what his dad, was in Never the Twain, I think.
Ralph Spall.
He's recently been in Coronation Street. Time is up, mate. It was Nigel Havers.
I think that was the Charmer.
They were
Charmer.
The worst clues I've ever heard.
You got Mother Teresa spot on.
Yeah, that was easy, but that was no. Recount.
I thought you were saying Imelda Marcos.
No. It's 1 point. So far, here are the scores in no particular order. Wayne, one. Arlene, and Mr. Harry, one. Fran, one. Babcock, one. Has everyone got the same score?
It's no reflection on us. It's a reflection on you as giving crap clues.
I gave perfect clues.
Rubbish, that was.
All right, well, let's hear your quiz.
Right, how long's the Great Wall of China?
As far as the eye can see.
In miles.
What do you mean?
What do I mean?
What I mean is, how long is the Great Wall of China in miles? What does that mean? I'm not Googling it. But I have, I've been to the Great Wall of China.
Oh, well done.
I would say it's longer than you'd think, right?
All right. Kathy Ellen as well.
It's more... All right, let's see who gets the closest. It's about what, Kathy?
22 million miles.
22 million miles. All right, it's a little bit less than you're thinking, Catherine. I know this. It's about 13,500 miles, isn't it?
Nope.
All right, it's 13,170.696 miles, right?
Right, so you did Google it. All right, there we are, then.
Well, because when I gave you the correct answer, you denied
miles,
it.
Yeah, it was a test. It was a test.
It was what?
It was a test, and you fell for it. I caught you. Cheater.
Well, I'm not a cheater. I've been there. Well, I'm not a
Why
cheater.
Why are you so tense, Babcock? You know you've come here for a love bath. Lie down.
Lie on the floor, baby boy.
Oh. You can do this one, Ian.
No.
Lie on the floor, baby boy.
No, Kathleen, please.
You just want Catherine. All right, I'm out of it. Kath, away you go. Get your toilet roll and...
Are you lying on the floor, David Babcock?
I'm lying on my front.
Are you ready to receive?
Yes, please.
David Babcock, since the moment you walked into our lives, you have brought joy, weirdness, but a good kind of weirdness, and a little peppering of pervery. I'm not sad about that. You are someone we have seen blossom under a acrylic beanie hat into someone who is creative, fun, inspiring and productive. Those chickens will never forget you, David Babcock, and neither will we.
No.
You are loved.
Yeah.
I imagine.
Yeah.
How's that?
So-so.
Oh.
You want more? You want more? Turn over.
Go for it.
Turn over. David Babcock. No one, but no one, does the hoovering like you do.
Literally, because he has sex with the Hoover, right?
Well, I don't have sex with the Hoover, do I?
Also, no one attracts the spirits like you can. You are like honey to the bee. The bees being the spiritual bees, the spirits, all flowing towards you and wanting to make their home inside you. That makes you a special person on both of the spiritual planes. You are loved hard. Still nothing?
Oh, get lost, you miserable old has-been.
You're a very crusty person.
Get off my show. Cut him off. The guy's an ass. This is Talk Radio. I'm furious.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Oh, 0344-499-1000 is the phone number. Kath, pick a category.
Persons.
Persons. Okie dokie. Let me write your name down on the entrance form. Catherine B. Your time starts now. Three words. Tom Baker was in one of the movies. Quite often the actor would wear blackface and a turban, would go on a boat and would fight mystical adventures with swords.
Sinbad the Sailor.
Thank you very much indeed. It talks like that. And, you got lovely big boobies, Holly Willoughby. Lovely big boobies.
Oh, Keith Lemon.
There we go. Oh, it was funny with a big slip, but all time's up.
Oh, Billy Connolly.
Billy Connolly. I spelled Connolly wrong here, which is interesting. But, Catherine, you're in the lead with two, which actually is not that surprising. Well, don't, hang on. It's not that surprising because everyone that's phoned in so far has been, I believe, what could be described as a melt. 03-444-499-1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. You'd be very welcome. Good evening, Daniel.
Hello, good evening.
Daniel, would you like to pick a category?
Drones.
Dreams? That's not one of the categories. Try again.
No, drones.
Drones?
Because today it was a record, more than five hours a drone in the air.
Okay. Are you using the same thing that Kath has been using to change her voice on the love baths?
A pint pot?
I think there's a plugin for that, but I don't use it.
There we go. That's it. If you speak into the phone, that makes things so much better. Which category would you like to answer questions on, please?
Zones.
Drones.
Zones. Okay.
Zones.
Drones and zones.
Drones and zones.
Drones and zones.
Neither of those. Okay. All right. Do you know what?
Have you got anything on bones? What about homes? Aiming homes? Homes alone.
Drones and zones. Here we go.
You don't understand my idea.
Here we go. Hang on. Here we go. Hang on, Daniel. Your time starts now. It's a small remote control object that flies in the sky. It can be used to film and also deliver goods.
Yes, but it can go from hop to hop.
Yes, what is the word, Daniel? Time's running out.
It jumps from the top room.
If you don't know the answer, you can say pass.
No, jumps. The drone jumps.
Drones, correct. Second one. The Twilight...
Zone.
Oh, yes! Daniel, you're in second place, mate. You're in first place with Catherine. You got two
joint
points.
First.
Okay. If you could just speak into the phone, Daniel.
Yes.
Have you got headphones in? Because take them out because they're not working.
Actually, I need to put...
Can't hear you, Daniel. Daniel, put your face near the hole, please.
Oh, Kath said that before, didn't she?
The thing is, you don't understand. If the
we now understand. We can hear you.
I understand, buddy.
And from Trafalgar Square goes to Newcastle,
from Newcastle goes to Manchester or Liverpool. It goes from one car to the top of another car. The drone only needs to move the parcels on the top of the cars.
Okay, hang on a second. I tell you what, let's bring in someone who's perhaps a little bit more technically minded than you and I, Catherine.
Yeah.
Barry from Watford. Daniel, say hello to Barry.
Hello, Barry.
Hello, our son. Something about Newcastle, was it?
No, it wasn't Newcastle, Barry. So, Daniel, try and explain your idea to Barry.
So if you want to deliver a parcel from London to Glasgow,
yes.
He can go... The drone puts it on a car in direction to Newcastle, and then another car from Newcastle to Manchester, and another car from Manchester to Glasgow. So the drones only need to move the parcels from one top of the car to the rooftop of another car.
Yeah.
That's what I would say on national radio. You don't need the drones to go all the way from London to Glasgow. They only need to go hop to hop.
By drones, did you say?
And today there was a record, a drone with hydrogen that passed 5 hours, 5 hours and a half. So 355 minutes or so. The drone with hydrogen. And if you split the water, the molecules of water, you get hydrogen and oxygen. So you can store the energy with hydrogen.
Yes. So what do you reckon, Barry? Do you reckon that could work? Or is he just talking nonsense?
That is a super idea. A really super idea.
No.
Wonderful. We've got it now. Manchester to Glasgow. Wonderful stuff. Okay, well, next.
Okay, Daniel, thanks for your call, mate. 0344 499 1000. Well, I'm glad you sorted that out, Barry. Barry, pick a category.
Sport.
That isn't one of the ones I've got.
Sex. Packed lunches.
Nope, I haven't got either of those.
Tomatoes.
Nope.
Could you not make one up?
Steve Perryman, the ex Tottenham captain.
Not Steve Perryman, the ex Tottenham captain. No, haven't got that.
Just a category.
Nope.
Cleaning fluids.
Nope.
Calendars
or colanders? Which was it?
Colanders.
Haven't got colanders.
Calendars.
Haven't got that either, I'm afraid.
What have you got? Stop tantalising him.
Oh, shall I go through them, Barry?
Yeah, good idea.
Okay, we've got action, object, nature, colanders. Oh, we did have colanders. Sorry.
Oh.
Random, person, or world.
Let's go person.
All right, let's do it. Okay, here we go. Time starts now. Sweaty comedian, not funny, looks like a pig.
Sweaty comedian, not funny. Well, sweaty, I'd say Lee Evans, but he's good.
Correct. Silly woman jumped in front of a horse.
The derby, wasn't it?
You probably went out with her.
Yeah, oh, God, it was the King's Derby for the Suffragettes. Jumped in front of a horse.
Yeah, time's up. Time finished.
Katie Price.
Wow. The sacrifice wasn't in vain, was it? Emily Davison's.
Oh, I got the wrong one. It was Emmeline Pankhurst I had.
Well, she didn't go under the horse.
Well, okay.
I'll have the point.
You will not have the point. Well, okay. What would the clue? All right, hang on a minute. Let's see if you get the point. Catherine, give him the clue for Emmeline Pankhurst.
Instead of what, now what?
What?
You cut out. Go on.
Give him the clue. Let's see if he would have got it. Give him the clue for Emmeline Pankhurst.
Votes for Women.
Is it Emmeline Pankhurst?
Oh, it is, yeah.
You're in joint first. With Daniel and with our very own beautiful lady, wonderful lady, looking gorgeous tonight in T-shirt and jeans. Yes. It's Kathy Boyle.
That's me.
Well, two things. One, yes, can I have an extra point for telling you where she's buried?
Where Catherine's buried? That's a bit of a bleak thing to say.
Emmeline Pankhurst.
No, but no. Why would you get an extra point for that?
Because it's an interesting factual point.
All right, go on then.
West Brompton Cemetery.
I'll give you a point. You got 3 points.
Secondly, what, talking of Catherine, do you remember that lady who replaced her last night with a lovely French voice?
Oh.
And then there was another lovely lady with a Spanish voice and a lady who couldn't do a Danish voice, but we glossed over that.
I think Danish is more like this, no? It's like kind of just ever so slight.
Not Ipswich, Denmark.
No, Ipswich is a bit more like that, isn't it?
Oh, whatever it is, it's doing it for me, babe. What have we got? Oh, I'm going down to the boulangerie. I might pick up a croissant, some tomate, chou-fleur, and who's this?
Fromage?
No. Il faut que vous allez à la fromagerie. Hello, Monsieur Barry. What can I get for you?
Oh, come on, Survivor.
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. You're looking very dapper today.
No, sorry about that. I'll just do those up. Now, do you have any chou-fleur, tomate, du fromage,
but in the bakery, I do not have any cauliflower, but for you, Barry, I could probably find one. Just one moment. Let me bend down here.
Goodness me.
Is this what you want?
Very much so. Very much so.
I have no cauliflower, but I have a couple of hot buns.
Oh, my goodness. Mademoiselle, voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir, or...
Oh. That is very, very forward of you. I thought you just came in here to show me your huge baguette.
Well, mademoiselle, the clue was in the fact that I was naming things from an épicerie, n'est pas une boulangerie. You should have picked up on that from the start, and the fact that I'm wearing no trousers.
Oh la la!
A beautiful woman, hands across the ocean. Never mind, Farage, we're all friends. I want to make sweet, sweet love to you, my darling.
Okie dokie, okie dokie. I think we've gone a little bit too far.
Oh, dear.
Barry, dearie, dearie. You're getting a little bit frustrated with lockdown.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. Not so much lockdown, it's lock up. It's what is happening with me, my friend.
Seizing up.
I should be.
Here's what we can do. Here's what we can do. Because, yeah. As we know, a lot of couples are struggling at the moment because they may be, you know, locked in with the person they love, but we don't often get to spend this much time with our life partners. Now, you and Margaret, how long have you and Margaret been together?
Oh, a long, long time. Long time. Okay. 50 years.
Congratulations.
Year.
How are you making it work? Kath, what are you doing?
Just pouring another beer.
That's not what it sounded like. I thought you were having a slash.
Yes,
If this is a slash, it's fizzy and I ought to drink more water.
Okay. Are you having a beer?
No, it's Coke.
What are you doing, Barry? What are you and Margaret doing to get through the obvious... Let me finish. To get through the obvious niggles and problems that are bound to crop up during this right-wing, government-enforced lockdown. What are you doing?
What I find is a wonderful thing is I send Margaret upstairs to the bedroom and I go out in the back garden for most of the day in this lovely weather. I read the newspaper. Unfortunately, my flipping lawnmower has broken down.
No.
Can't get another one. My back garden is like the centre spread of a 1973 men only. It's an absolute disgrace. I mean, it really... it's something. But what we find is we spend most of the day apart, then we come together in the evening, we have a jolly good meal, a lot of fun, and that's it really, you know. Okay, spend a bit of time apart.
So your suggestion to any couple that is struggling being forced to stay together is to try and spend some of that time they're forced to stay together apart.
Yeah, apart. Well, a lot of the time, yeah.
As much as possible apart.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I've got to be honest, I had a bit of a wobble today. I've been sick of this, Mayor.
Okay, Barry, go on.
A little bit sick of this, Mayor.
Okay, so it's supposed to be keep your spirits up special.
Yeah, okay.
You're kind of bringing everyone down a little bit, you know. It's...
My point is, I've had a couple of drinks, had a lovely evening, it's quarter 12, and everything's all right.
Can I just say, can I speak seriously? Because I know we don't speak seriously very often, and I get it that you are older, and this is a worrying time, particularly for people of your generation.
Yes.
And you've genuinely, we get so many nice texts and tweets when you come on and you cheer everyone up. Yes. Listen, this is I'm saying this as a friend. Yes. If you get low again, just don't call us until you've cheered up. Because it just brings us down. It's just a bit miserable for everyone. So if you get low...
It's killing it.
It really is. If you get low, just swerve us until you're up again, mate. Is that all right?
I'm not a performing monkey, am I? I'm not a performing monkey.
No, because they're always jolly.
I'm a human being. And I do my best to keep flying the flag. But occasionally... I have a little moment, a little wobble.
And you've not come across this before, Catherine. This is Barry's attitude, or what I like to call his shattitude.
It's sassy.
It's depressing.
And all I'm some of the people who phone in here, you think I'm depressing? I'm all right, and I want to say, everyone, don't worry, we'll be out of this soon. Don't you worry.
What's going on?
Is that it?
Yeah, we're done.
Night,
Barry.
Night.
0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Oh gosh, let's go to Matthew, as he's the only caller waiting on the switchboard. Good evening, Matthew.
Hello there.
What can we do for you?
Well, today. I don't know if you know this, Ian, but it's the fourth anniversary of Prince's death. So I thought I'd come on and, like, you see if you talk about Prince.
Well, we weren't, but if you want, I mean, yeah, gosh, yes, 2016 was 4 years ago, Kath.
Yeah. We were talking about Prince yesterday, me and my kids, because we were perfecting the Prince stink face, which I think is one of his greatest legacies to the world. The stink face, when something is just so funky that you can't hold it in. Like that.
Are you all right there, Kath?
Yeah, can you not smell my stink face?
Jesus.
What?
Okay. Well, yeah, so all day I've been listening to Prince. He's one of my idols.
I put Prince off singing once at a concert. I was singing so loudly at a Prince concert.
He gave you stink eye, didn't he?
He gave me stink eye, yeah.
Did he? What song did you wear your
stink? It was one of the hits, because I don't really know that many songs. It was one of the nights where he played a handful of the hits. It would have been Raspberry Beret or Little Red Corvette. Probably Little Red Corvette. And I was in the fourth row and I sang it so loudly that it put him off. And he gave me a really dirty look.
He's just one of those people where it's just like, even if he gives you a dirty look, it is like it turns you on a bit, doesn't it? Like the dirtiest look.
No, it didn't turn me on. It made me laugh a lot though. And I said to my wife, who I was with, did you see that? Did that happen? And she went, oh my God, you put Prince off. So it didn't make me feel. I found him too tiny for a man to be sexy. I like tiny women, but I like bigger men.
You like bigger men, do you?
Yeah.
Don't you think the whole presence and demeanor of Prince is like... Because that's like the brand of Prince, isn't it? That his presence is just like... He just oozes charisma and...
I thought his songs were his thing. What of him being a singer?
Yeah, obviously, but, you know, it was the thing about...
You like the fact he was a tiny pervert?
One of my friends called him, like, a dirty sex pervert.
I'm the best kind of pervert, as far as I'm concerned.
one that was like kind of socially acceptable in society.
Yeah. He's like a, he was like, he was like the Dick Emery of rock.
Yes. He was...
socially like acceptable rock. Perversions, yes. 0344-499-1000, call me now.
he was sort of the artist that, like, he just oozes sexiness.
Well, yes. Well, I tell you what, let's cut to the chase, Matthew. Give us a Prince song.
Should I sing you a Prince song?
Of course.
Are you going to news after this? Should I do it to news, or are you? Well, are we
just sing
a song. Okay.
Well,
all right.
Okay.
You don't have to be beautiful to turn me on.
Yeah.
Just need your body, baby, from dusk till dawn. You don't need experience. Prince will be.
Can you sing a song that you know the words to? I mean, is that a possibility or?
Look, you caught me on the.
You don't have to be rich to be my girl.
You don't have to be cool to rule my world. I know the particular style or character is. I just watch your love be kind in your.
Matthew's like a TV remote control. he's like a TV remote control. When it stops working, you just got to take the back off, rub the batteries around a little bit, and you
smack the back of it.
You get another couple of days' use out of it. It just finishes the job.
No Prince fan can resist. You don't have to, and then they're off.
Thank you, Matthew. Yes. 0344-499-1000. And also, we didn't put him on the spot. He phoned up to talk about Prince. He ends every phone call singing a song. So it's hardly putting him on the spot, is it? Flippin' heck, man.
No.
What a strange 2 hours that we've had. Hasn't it been peculiar?
It really has. What I loved about his conversation was about Prince. Do you find Prince sexy? No, not really. Oh, yeah, he is, though.
So you find Prince sexy, Matthew, and you're disappointed that we don't. I get it. I learned a lot about bees today. Oh, I learned how to play the mandolin today. I taught myself how to play the mandolin.
Done.
Thank you.
What did you play on it? A madrigal?
I played Ladbroke Grove by AJ Tracy. I played the song, not the band Post Malone, the song Post Malone by Somebody and Rani. And I tried to play Watermelon. I tried to play Watermelon Sugar by Harry Styles, but it's quite tricky, that song.
Yeah,
it's good, that song. I like that song.
Complicated artist.
I like that song. But I learned a lot about bees today. And that when bees have had enough of the queen is everything in the world of bees, right?
Yeah.
And when bees have had enough of the queen, they
go
and
make... Well, they say when they've had enough of the queen?
Yeah.
I thought the queen called the shots.
No, this is it. They go and make another queen. And what they do is they, to make another queen, they give... like, I don't know, like baby bees or like embryos or something. Baby bees, I think it is. They get like 5 or 6 of these baby bees. Well done. Well played. Well played. And they feed them royal jelly.
The what? Tell him.
The babies.
They feed the what? What are we calling them?
Babies. They feed the babies royal jelly. And that makes queen bees. But then they've got five queen bees. So the first queen bee, to get strong enough, goes and kills the other queen bees. the babies. Queen babies. But then while they're doing that, the bees are, they kill the original queen bee by not letting her go to sleep.
Oh, that's what my kids do to me.
Yeah.
That's what my kids are doing to me.
Exactly. Exactly. So they keep the other queen bee awake so that eventually she goes mad and dies. Then they get a new queen bee. And then what they do, this is when bees swarm. Right, you know what's happening when bees swarm? We're going to be so late for the news, but this is more important than coronavirus.
This is very important.
What happens when bees swarm? What's that about, Kath? You're wrong.
They're saying, right, we're moving.
Oh, okay. No, you're right. So, yeah, they're moving, right? And what's in the centre of that swarm?
The queen.
Yeah, they're protecting the queen. But they'll just, quite often, they'll just hover. They'll just hover there, like a swarm. Why are they just hovering there?
Because she's got to tell them where to go.
No. Because they send off, like, a dozen little scouts to find a new hive. And then the scouts come back and they tell the swarm where what they found and where it is, and then the swarm decide which one to go to.
Oh.
Isn't that insane?
I bloody love bees. They're brilliant, aren't they?
But they're also stupid, because if they're swarming like that, you can trick them into a cardboard box. Then you put the lid on the box, so you've got a whole swarm of bees, and then you take them, you know, the man-made beehives for the honeykeepers. The
ones
honeykeepers.
That look like houses, yeah.
What you do is you just kind of tip them in there, and you keep your fingers crossed, and generally, they'll take.
Idiots.
This is Bees on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. Across the UK. Late night with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Man, 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. It's the late night alternative. We're here every weeknight from 10 o'clock until 1 o'clock, and we are the. Well, I was going to say we're the antidote to the coronavirus. My God, imagine if we were, we'd be rich. But we're not. We're not. Sadly, we can't cure it. But maybe we can cure those blues that come along with it. But we probably can't do that either. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number, and you're very welcome to give us a call about absolutely anything you want. A woman was mortified when she realised the sex toy she picked up on eBay had been bought using her mum's account.
Oh, my God.
Jessica Smith decided to scour the buy and sell... that's what eBay is. It's a buy and sell site. I might have a look at that. I didn't realise. I'm glad they've cleared that up. Jessica Smith decided to scour the buy and sell site after her friend told her that sex toys were often sold for a fraction of the price.
Oh.
I mean, I'm hoping we're talking new ones here.
Yeah. I mean...
After choosing...
So legally, is this her mum's toy now? Well, she got to give it to her mum? Is that what they're saying?
I've seen movies like that. After choosing the purple rampant rabbit, the 22-year-old completed her order and sat back awaiting its arrival.
She was waiting.
Yeah, exactly. The retail worker from Chester, Cheshire, thought she was buying the product on a guest account and was horrified when she discovered she'd actually logged into her mum, Jackie Dixon's account, when the order was processed. And red-faced Jessica found out about her error in the most humiliating way when she walked into her mum's bedroom one day and caught her using it. No, when her mum... That would be the most humiliating way. This doesn't sound that humiliating. When her mum contacted her to tell her, her 52-year-old mum sent over a screenshot of the order confirmation with the message, "What's this?"
Jackie, come on.
Realised what she'd done. And if Jessica wasn't embarrassed enough, Jackie then followed her initial message with, "Are you lonely?" and suggested she opened her own eBay account.
Right.
Parenting-wise,
you know, how does one handle this without creating... I mean, I know... How old is she now?
22.
So damage is done, forget it. But it's not great, is it, humiliating your daughter like that?
But then she tweeted, how's...
Oh, she tweeted it, fair enough.
Well, here you go. This is great. How's everyone's lockdown going? I've just bought a dildo signed into me mum's eBay account. But it's much cheaper. The Rampant Rabbit for $12.99. They're like 40, 50 quid, aren't they, Rampant Rabbits?
Kath? Are they? I don't know.
They're the best. I don't know why they're the best, but they're here's the thing about phalluses, right? Sex phalli. They are the most... I mean, listen, the male genitalia is ridiculous looking anyway. That's we all know that. But the fake ones, just... You can't not look at a fake one and burst in to hysterics because they look so ridiculous, don't they?
I told you about last time I went to get my eyelashes done and I was lying...
Gosh, where's this going?
Well, I was lying down on the bed with a blanket. Oh, she's very good. Blanket over me. Paulina, her name is. And she said
to me... Give your blankets a name.
She's from Lithuania. And she said, "Catherine, what is this phallus?" we often have conversations because she knows I speak a couple of languages and she's trying to get a grip on English. And
a grip on something, yeah.
"What is this phallus?" And I sort of went, "Okay." She said... "Because I hear it all the time. I'm going out with the fellas. I'll go out with the fellas. Me and my fella." I went, "Oh, fellas. Okay." But we nearly had a more interesting conversation than the one she was initiating.
My word.
"What is this, fellas?"
Isn't it, though? Isn't it? 0344-499-1000 is the phone number. Kath, what have you got?
All right, well, here's another way to spend your lockdown. This is from the New York Post. And you know, if I read from the New York Post, I have to do the voice. Is that okay with everyone?
Yes.
Okay,
thanks. Everyone loves you. Your accents are becoming a real highlight of what is a very lowbrow show.
I think it just shows that I am borderline insane. And so there are so many personalities here. Okay, so this is the New York one, right? This is from the New York Post. And they do write in a certain New York way, so it's only right. "A shameless freeloader quarantined himself in a shuttered Connecticut restaurant, helping himself to thousands of dollars worth of food and drink during a four-day bacchanalian binge," police said. I'm pretty sure they didn't use the words bacchanalian binge. Luis Angel Ortiz, 42, was arrested early Tuesday after allegedly pillaging a Cuban restaurant in downtown New Haven, which police believe he busted into Saturday through a side window. Ortiz then proceeded to eat, drink, or steal several thousand dollars worth of food and booze, including roughly 70 bottles of liquor, New Haven police said. We had a party. Officers learned Ortiz helped himself over the course of 4 days to the restaurant's food, liquor, and beer, police said in a statement Wednesday. In addition to eating and drinking at the restaurant, Ortiz removed beverages and property from the building, officials added. He was taken into custody after a manager stopped by the closed restaurant and saw someone sleeping inside with a bottle of rum. That will do it. The eatery was identified by the Hartford Courant as Sol de Cuba Cafe, which serves up home-style Cuban grub. I didn't realise Americans use the word grub.
I don't think they do.
Well, they do in New York. Officers arrested Ortiz, who was also caught on the restaurant's surveillance video nearby, police said. Management estimated the loss of food and beverage at several thousand dollars, police said in a statement. The loss included an estimated 70 bottles of stolen or consumed liquor. Which one was it? Did he leave some money behind the bar? Ortiz was charged with burglary, larceny, and criminal mischief. Criminal mischief.
Oh, I can fancy some criminal mischief right now.
Sounds great, doesn't it? Yeah. Just a little bit of light mischief, not even criminal. Mischief would be great. In connection with the alleged incident, he was also charged with failure to appear in court on an unrelated case. I want to know what that is. Ortiz, who was arraigned Wednesday, is due back in court on May 27th, the Courant reports. He remained in custody Friday at the New Haven Correctional Center in lieu of $10,500 bail. He's never going to pay that.
No.
So he was hanging out in the restaurant. Why not?
I didn't really hear that because you kept dropping out from on my end. I'm sure the listener heard it, but I got the gist of it, but I'm going to be honest, Kath, I didn't get enough of it to reply.
I know. I see you've been taking pictures of your cats. Are they doing funny things? My cat is now, she's manoeuvred herself into a position where she can see me.
Yeah.
Because she wants feeding, because she always wants feeding, and she's been fed.
I feed the cats. My trick is I feed the cats just before I do the show. That means they're kind of docile now. And I don't know where the grown-ups are. Actually, lucky I saw her go upstairs. She slunk upstairs. Mucky's probably on my bed. And the two babies like to sleep near me while I'm doing the show. And then they come up with me. That's life. That's life. It's life. What are you going to do? Let's go to Michael. Good evening, Michael.
Hello. Hi.
Hello, Michael.
Quick question. Are you both working in the same location or are you both working from homes?
We're working from Eamon Holmes. We are in different houses. So we've got the way it's set up. Sam is in the studio in London. I'm in my house. I'm in my living room, and Kath is in her dining room. I would imagine. And that's how we're doing it.
It sounds like you and Kath are in the same room. Just thought I'd say that.
Are you calling me a liar? Michael, are you calling me? Yeah, I know it's technology, isn't it? But we only found out about four shows ago how to make it sound even better because no one at work decided to tell us there was a simpler method than the one we were using. But yeah, no, it sounds all right. Honestly, I think things like this, I think once things get back to some kind of normal, that I think more people are going to carry on working from home, and a lot of businesses are going to get rid of their offices because they'll be thinking, well, why are we paying rent on offices when we can be just as productive with everyone at home? And I also think it'll be the end of big studios, because what's the point of spending, I don't know, £500,000, let's say, building a studio when the setup that Kath has got, she's got a laptop and a microphone for £150, and that's it. And mine's, I've got a slightly better microphone, but it's a similar setup. You know, why spend tens of hundreds of thousands?
Actually, my microphone cost about £95 because I went for the normal colour.
You didn't go for the metallic colour, that was it, wasn't it? You went for black or something. Was it? And I treated myself. I got a bit geeky and I bought a couple of really nice Rode microphones for £140 each, £130, whatever they were. I treated myself. But this is the future, man. I want to carry on doing it from home.
Yeah, I agree. I was talking to somebody about that today, actually, because I work for a bank and I work from home 2 days a week anyway. We're now all working from home, and I think the bank's probably going to look at that and think, look at the last few weeks and think, actually, Why don't all our staff work from home all the time?
I do think this will revolutionise. I don't think much is going to change, right? And I'd tell you why I think that. People saying, oh, we're all going to be nicer and we're all going to be better and we're all going to rely less on whatever. It doesn't work like that. And I have a comparison that isn't perfect, but it's as close as I think we're going to get. When I did I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, you have no technology. You have no electricity, you have no technology, you have no phones, you don't even have watches. And everyone in there said, my God, when we leave the jungle, I'm not going to let social media control me. I'm going to control it. I will not always be looking. I remember people saying to me, I will not always be looking at my phone and I'm going to be engaging in conversations and I'm going to be more present. And I came out right near the end. And I remember coming out and meeting those people. And instead of them looking at me and going, hey, Ian, it's great to see you, they were on their phones. And I felt betrayed because I'd been in there a bit longer. Of course, within 2 or 3 hours, I was doing exactly the same thing. But we were all saying how it was going to be a spiritual changing experience for the better. By the end of the first day out, it wasn't. We were back to normal behavior. So I think I don't think any behavior is going to change, but I do think workplaces might change.
But the real reason I phoned you last week and told you about I've got a kid who I've not been able to see. The mum's obviously respecting the social distancing, and I found out she had been to see her family.
I remember this. I was thinking about you earlier today. Yes,
and so I took your advice because I was ready to phone her up that next day and have an argument with her, but I haven't done that, and I've been speaking to her and haven't mentioned that I found out that she had been out visiting people. And I've been able to FaceTime my son every day since. So I just want to say thank you for that. It was really good advice from you and Catherine. So thank you.
Good. So you went with the idea of, right, how do we do this? Because we're mum and dad.
Yes. Yeah. So, you give out some great advice sometimes, so thank you very much for that.
Well, hang on a minute, what do you mean sometimes? We give it out. Are you any closer, Michael, to getting to see your kid physically, going around there?
No, but I've kind of accepted that.
Let me just prod gently, because why have you accepted that?
Because of the sort of woman she is, she will not. She just won't. If I call her out for doing something that she shouldn't have done, she would then she would stop me probably seeing my son at all. So
she can't. She can make it difficult, and I that was a slightly simplistic statement from me. Sorry. Of course, she can make it very, very difficult, and then it gets legal, and then it gets expensive, and it's a pain in the ass. But she can never stop you being the dad. And I'm not telling you what to do. I think it's great that you're getting to speak to the boy every single day on FaceTime, and it's wonderful, and FaceTime is a miracle, but it ain't the same. And you would be well within your rights, and I'm trying to choose my language really carefully, to say, after a few days of this, I'm free at the weekend. Why don't I come round for a couple of hours and you go and have a little rest, and I'll look after Timmy, and I'll cook him, I'll make him some lunch or whatever. And you don't need to bring in, if you think it would be, you don't need to mention the fact that she's seen other people. You don't need to mention that. And you could say, look, this is going great, but look, as you know, I'm not going out. I'm not meeting anybody. I'm as clean as you can be. The rules are very simple. Parents that live apart are allowed to go and visit their kids. Can I pop over for a couple of hours on Sunday? Just to go and play with him, and you go up and have a little lie down.
Or if you don't want me about, maybe I could take them overnight. And so you can have some free time, because it must be driving you nuts.
I might try that. I've just not wanted to poke the bear because.
I know. But again, I've got to be so careful because I don't want to upset or offend anybody to do with you or to do with me. But I would we talked, I think, before, didn't we, Michael, about how I would always expect the worst result from other people. Yeah, I would always expect the worst result. And sometimes I got the worst result, but more often than not, I got sort of the result I was hoping for. Sometimes there might be a little bit of huffing and puffing on the other side, but quite often I would get something very close to what I had asked for. And it would constantly surprise me that that was the case. And I get it. You don't want to make things worse, and you don't want to, you know, her to go, well, you're in that case, you're not speaking to the boy at all.
It would
take someone, and I know you've obviously got, you know, your feelings about her. It would take someone very, very special to react to someone asking to come and spend 2 hours with their son by withdrawing even WhatsApp rights. It would take someone who's very, very special to be able to do that.
Yes.
Do you know what? You could always say, listen, I think it's brilliant. I'm so glad that we've been able to get to this point where we can do this. I'm wondering now, and I don't want to, you know, cause a problem, but I'm wondering now whether we could, you know, I could spend a couple of hours. Say it like that. So you're thankful for the time, and you're really glad that you've got to this place, because then it'd be more difficult for us to be able to shut you down.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree.
And failing that, I can get you a gun, and we just go around there, and we're not going to hurt anybody. We just kidnap the boy. That's all. Hang in there, Michael. Slowly, slowly. You're right to take very cautious steps and not try and jump too far ahead to disturb anybody or scare anybody. And I'm so thrilled that you're happier with the situation.
Yeah.
But I do think from someone, no, I haven't really been through that, but I do think looking at it from the outside, you could actually go a little bit further and it would probably still be okay.
Yeah, I will try that.
I also know that it's really scary, and you have to handle these things so gently, and sounds like you're a good man, and it sounds like you're doing the best that you can, man, so I wish you best of luck.
Okay, thank you both.
Thanks for the update, Michael. Take care, mate. Bye-bye. 0344-499-1000. Coming up next, Nigel from Maidstone. This is Talk Radio.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Give it to me, Nigel. What's going down, big man?
Oh, hi, Ian. All right.
Hello, Nigel.
It was about, I could hardly hear the last caller because it was crackling on and off the signal.
Ah, well.
You didn't mean, talking to you.
There you go. That's it. We got it. What you got for us, Nigel?
I'll tell you a story in a minute. A funny story. Maybe you might find it funny or maybe not.
But I find it racist.
Is she there?
Me? Yes.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Good. I'll be back. You know.
You'll be back.
Talk Sport, the golden years. Have you seen that on Facebook?
No.
I've just put some new videos up on there. If you get time sometime, double a bit. Talk Sport, the golden years.
Okay.
I looked at Tommy Boyd when he was with Arnold Schwarzenegger on the show. You know when you did a TV show, Tommy Boyd?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Did you see that film with him and Arnold Schwarzenegger where they did weight training?
I've seen the picture of them together, yeah.
Yeah, I was looking at the actual video. I put it onto Twitter for people to look at, because I've been on his show, you know, Tommy Boyd's show before. Anyway, the story I want to tell you, I don't want to make you jealous by talking about Tommy Boyd.
You wouldn't make me jealous of that old man.
No, you're friends, aren't you?
Oh, well, I know him to say hello to. He's been very kind to me in the past. Mm. Yeah, he's been very kind to me.
You just miss each other. You're leaving and he's coming in.
Yeah, there was a period of that. I mean, I've only met him once, very, very briefly, but I've spoken to him on the phone a couple of times when stuff wasn't quite going my way, and he was very calm. Very, very bright man and a very kind man and very generous with his time with me, yeah. He's a bit weird, if I'm completely honest.
Is he big at fatter now? Because he was very
slim. No.
You've worked with him, haven't you, Kath? You've done the show with
lovely.
Him.
He's lovely. He's a joy to work with. He's fun. He's bright. He's everything you would hope he would be.
He did children's things, didn't he, as well, on TV? Children's programs.
Yeah, yeah. He's done a lot of stuff. He's very... When I say weird, I mean weird in the way, you know, that I'm weird. That everyone that does this job is a little bit weird.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
sure, yeah.
We're all a little bit weird.
I used to be a bit like Christian Stewart, as she is now, years ago. When I was drumming on the Ride Queen boat, you know, at the Ride Queen at the Isle of Wight.
Yeah.
And I told you I was a drummer on the Ride Queen, didn't I? There's a funny story here. When my mum came to visit me on the boat, because I was only 16 at the time when I was drumming away from home with a band, 16, that's really young. My mum came to visit us, and she had her own room on the boat to stay overnight. And two gay waiters, tied her door together outside so she couldn't get out the door.
Those damn gaiters.
It's really funny because, well, it wasn't funny to Mum. She was very upset. She couldn't get out the door because they tied the door handles together as if for a joke.
This is so they could make love in the hallway?
No, they had bunk beds up higher up.
Bunk beds, there we go, yeah. That's where they got the name from. don't know what any of this means.
It's so funny. No. I didn't find it. I was very annoyed about them. I told them off eventually. And then I don't know if you've heard of, what was his name? Peter Lee, a singer. Yeah, he wouldn't have. He would have
Peter Zanley?
Lee Peters. Sorry, Lee Peters.
Lee Peters. Right.
Have you heard of Lee Peters, an entertainer?
No.
Anyway, this was quite a famous singer. He used to wear a white suit, like, what's his name, the singer? Elvis Presley's type of suit.
Yes.
And he gave me a lefty. He had an American car, Chevrolet, the one with the pointed parts at the back. You know, the great long one.
I know. Yeah, I know the car,
Chevrolet.
Yeah.
Is it a Chevrolet?
Chevrolet, yeah. Chevy.
Chevrolet.
Drove the Chevy to the levee.
Fantastic car. He gave me, when I was 16, he gave me a lift.
Uh-oh.
To the end of the road, so I could get a bus to where I was staying. Then I'd get a bus to Shanklin from Ryde. And just as I was getting out of the car, he kissed me on the lips.
There we go. Well, that's
because he was gay as well.
I knew it was coming. Yeah,
you knew that was coming.
But and, how did you feel? Can I ask you how you felt about that?
Very strange and embarrassed because I'd never kissed a man before. This is the first time I've ever spoken about it to live TV, radio.
No, because how old would he have been?
I'd say about 30.
Yeah, because that's not really the right way to behave around 16-year-old lads, is it?
No, it wasn't. And I didn't realise at the time. And I feel a bit guilty about it now, but
it's not for you to be guilty about.
Isn't that interesting? I was going to say that you feel guilty. Why do you feel guilty?
I feel because I wasn't gay, is it, at the time. I wasn't gay because I've had lots of girlfriends, and I'm not gay now, really. I'm not gay now, but that I was put upon, you know, they took advantage of me.
Exactly, he took advantage of you, yeah.
Yeah, yes, but only because I worked at the place and... Most of the people there were gay on the boat.
He took advantage of you because it sounds like he was a bully. Let's call him a bully, because that's easier.
Yeah, he wouldn't let me out the car until I kissed him. There was a kiss and a cuddle. You know,
I'm really sorry you went through that, Nigel.
I don't regret any of it because I had a great life as a musician for 30 or 40 years.
That is abuse. What he did to you is abuse.
Yeah, but I didn't... Mum... She didn't like. She was upset as well. I told Mum. Yeah.
Well done for telling Mum.
Yeah. So I did get to meet a lot of big stars. But Jim Bowen was great. Did you ever meet Jim Bowen?
I beat Jim Bowen on The Weakest Link once. Yeah.
Oh right. Because he die about 5 years ago now?
He died not too long ago. Yeah. I liked Jim. He was very nice to me.
It was close to when Mum died. About a year before Mum died, I think he died. Yeah.
All right, Nigel. Listen, I'm sorry that you went through that with that horrible man, and
because without those people, I couldn't have earned the money and done the gigs. You know, I just couldn't have.
Yeah, but we should be, everyone should be, but particularly young, particularly, you know, I would say 16 is still a child, particularly children, but everyone should be allowed to work and earn money without being forced to do things with other people that they don't want to do.
And they really that's abuse. Took advantage of my mum as well, should they really? Like tying the door handles up so she couldn't get out of her room.
Well, I don't know what that was about, whether that was a prank or if that was...
Because the gay waiters didn't like me because I wouldn't go with them. Because they were trying to seduce me as well. And so... They were against my... They didn't like my mum because of that. So they took it out of my mum.
That was horrible as well. Then,
and so eventually I left the place and got a job somewhere else, which is the best thing to do, to get out of there, you know. So,
sorry you went through that, Nigel.
No, I don't... I don't really, I don't regret speaking about it.
No, I'm glad that you felt you could tell us. I'm just sorry that you felt
to get
went through
off
that.
Your chest, isn't it, as well?
It's really helpful, and there's no reason for you to feel any guilt whatsoever because you haven't done anything wrong.
I didn't ask for those people to act that way. No.
You didn't do anything wrong at all. No. You're a good man.
But no, I realise now that it's nothing to be ashamed of anyway if you do kiss another man, is it?
There's no shame in kissing another man at all. And there's also no reason to feel ashamed if somebody, a man or a woman, kisses you and you don't want it.
Mm.
That's their shame, that's not your shame.
It was a bit of a surprise, I suppose.
Well, Nigel, listen, you're a good man.
Talk to you too. Yes.
Nice. Phil, we've learned a lot.
I'll do a song another night when I've got
something
ready.
Nice one, Nigel. Thank you, mate. Take care. Bye-bye. 0344-499-1000 is the phone number. Do you know, as that phone call started, Catherine, I had a feeling that's where we were going to go. Mm. Isn't that sad? Aren't there some arseholes out there?
Yeah.
Imagine. Let's take a break. This is Talk Radio.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Well, that call's going to sit with me for a while. Maybe let that percolate for a bit. Let's speak to Richard first. Good evening, Richard.
Hey, you all right?
All right.
You heard the new Madonna song?
Sorry?
Have you heard the new Madonna song?
No.
It's not called Madonna, it's called Camel Fat with PH. It's called Freak. It's mad. It's a really good tune. So every time you heard, that's all.
No, I haven't. I'm not really a Madonna, apart from the handful of classics.
It's really good.
Can you sing a bit to us?
I can't remember. It's her singing, so I can't remember it.
Well, obviously it's her singing. It's a Madonna song. You would imagine it would be her singing, but other people can sing other people's songs, can't they?
Yeah, I've only heard it a couple of times. It's only just come out.
Okay. Okay. Well, can you whistle it?
No, it's like a house tune. It's brilliant.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the heads up, Richard.
All right. Cheers. No worries.
Thanks. Bye bye. Sorry, Kath. I totally excluded you from that. Maybe you've heard the new Madonna song, Freak Fat.
No, I don't believe it.
she's real, I've seen her.
No one's saying fat with a PH anymore, are they? Not even Madonna. I know she's an old lady now, but no, come on.
My freak fat on, I'm Madonna Ciccoloni. She's got a last name and it's Ciccoloni. Imagine. it's Ciccoloni, and you know
it's
it is.
Ciccone.
I'm Madonna Ciccoloni.
I wish it was Ciccoloni.
My name's Madonna Ciccoloni, and I'm here to rock your ass.
Oh, she speaks like this. No, she's almost speaking like Jackie Stallone.
Yeah, why do all your American women sound
Jackie. Drink.
Oh, Kat's making herself laugh, everybody.
Jackie Stallone makes me laugh every single time. She's still alive, isn't she?
Oh God, yeah.
Bless her.
Yeah. I had a flask of decaf cough and it's lasted me the whole show.
Gosh.
And I think maybe I put too much decaf cough in there because I've got terrible indigestion.
Bilious, the old decaf cough, especially this time of night. Gosh.
I just didn't fancy a fizzy pop.
No.
Update on my fridge.
Yeah.
Because it broke, and then I thought I'd fixed it by moving stuff around in the freezer, and then it broke again, and I was going to get one delivered, then I cancelled it, then I was going to get one delivered, and then they said, well, yeah, we're not allowed to come in. You have to get the old fridge to the front door, and then you have to take the new one. So I went, stuff it.
And I suggested you get it put in the garage for now.
Yeah, and I was going to do that, and I was really upset and frustrated, and I told my sister, because she was having problems with white goods and not being racist, that's what they're called. And she said, dumb question, but I guess you've not got it too close to the wall, have you? I said, no, of course I've not got it too close to the wall. And I went to the kitchen and I thought, well, I'll pull it a little bit out from the wall. I'll pull it like 8 inches out from the wall. And that fixed it. So that's good news. That's good news.
Well done, Joe.
Well done, Joe. I should tell her. So yeah, I made peace with my the dad's fridge. Side of the fridge, dad's side of the family. Not really peace because there was no beef. But when I was 15 and or 14, and my dad left home for the last time, and we discovered he was a serial philanderer, and he was a lousy dad, and we knew that he then had kids. Kind of, we knew he had a number of kids. We didn't know how many. I still don't quite know how many. I was 14 or 15 and my sister was 3 years older, and we made the decision that we were never going to see that side of the family again. All my aunts and uncles and my nan and granddad, we were never going to see that side of the family again. And I'm not blaming my mum at all, but my mum went along with that decision, looking back, perhaps a little too easily. Mm-hmm. And I would, looking back, in my decision, I'm not blaming her, my responsibility, but I'm 15, still a kid. I would have preferred if she would have sat me down and my sister and questioned as to why we were cutting off that entire side of the family. And if she had questioned, she would have realized I was doing it because I blamed them for his infidelity. And I was slightly embarrassed for them because my mum was a bit of a snob and that side of the family are a little bit common. And I was doing it because I thought I was protecting my mum. Yeah. All insane, not insane, all irrational things. But my mum didn't have that conversation with me. And she never kind of checked in, you know, every 6 months or a year going, do you think maybe you want to see your nan? Because, you know, she's not going to be around for her. So I never saw my nan and granddad again. They died maybe about 10 years later, I think. So I never saw them again. And I never spoke to any of those family members. And then years later, this is a potted history of my relationship with my dad. I'd see my dad on and off a little bit, but not very often. I worked with him in Pakistan for 3 months, and it was horrible, and we had a big row. And then I started doing the 11 o'clock show, and he came, and I had a big row, and I didn't speak to him again. And there was some stuff with my mum's mortgage that I think he was trying to get in there and take some money out of it. Anyway, he was a dodgepot. Then, after getting clean and doing the 12 steps and stuff, I found a watch and a photo album of his in my stuff. And I thought, right, I'm the big man now. I'm going to go and meet him, drop all this stuff off, and tell him exactly why I think he's a prick. And so I arranged to meet him. I hadn't spoken to him in 3, 4, 5 years. And I arranged to meet him, and I all determined to go in there and kind of lay down the law. And I did, and I got in there, and suddenly he looked quite old. I mean, he would only have been like 60 probably, but he looked old. And suddenly I wasn't scared of him. I'd always been very intimidated by him, and always never been able to be myself around him. It's a weird thing, and it's my issue with older men. It's partly because of the abuse that I endured when I was in the Cubs, partly because my dad was weird and was not a great dad, and loads of reasons. But for the first time, I was able to sit down with him and not be afraid of him and tell him exactly how I felt. And I told him. I told him why I was upset with him. And I was also able to acknowledge my part in certain things, which I was not expecting to do. This is all like 12-step stuff and, you know, decent humanity stuff. And and then I was able to forgive him. It was the weirdest thing. I had no intention of doing it, and I was able to forgive him. And I said to him, look, I don't think I'm ready to call you dad yet, and I certainly don't want to know about my brothers and my sisters. They're nothing to do with me. But I am happy. I would be happy for us to kind of keep in touch and see where this goes. See where this goes. But if you F me over again, man, that's it, you're done. And he was in tears, you know, he was in tears. It was incredible. And then I reported back to my sister, who was closer to my dad growing up than I was. I was my mum's kid and she was her dad's kid. And she was like, I don't want to know anything. I don't want to know anything. And eventually, I don't really remember how it happened, but eventually, I think she phoned me up and said, look, could you put me in touch with dad? Maybe I want to meet him. And eventually we sort of all became friends. And then just as we'd sort of made peace, he got really bad cancer. He got the cancer that kills you. And suddenly we had like 6 months and he only got to meet one of my kids briefly. It was all very complicated about him meeting my kids and then he died. And I ended up meeting like his wife and some of my half brothers and sisters, and what a surprise, they turned out to be really decent people. And suddenly as he was dying, all of I remember being next to him as he was really ill in his house, and we saw, me and my sister saw my aunt come up the street, who I hadn't seen for 25 years. And we went, well, this is going to be weird. And it wasn't. It was really nice. Our Aunt Hazel came in, and it was like we just picked up exactly where we left off, and it was lovely, and it was really nice. And then we went to the funeral, and Dad died, and everyone was there, and we were made to feel very, very welcome. And then it got a bit complicated with things at home and stuff. And then, a few weeks after my dad died, or maybe a month or so, we got a call that Aunt Hazel was ill and she had leukemia. And it was, God, you know, it was weird. We just thought, God, we've just kind of got her back in our life. And I went and saw her and spent a really nice hour with her. And then she died almost straight away after that. Anyway, the point is, this was like 7 years ago that my dad died. And I never quite, for various reasons that are inappropriate to go into here, I never quite picked up with my family as much as I would have wanted to. My sister did, and my sister became part of the Rugvies and became part of that family. And I didn't. I met a couple of them a couple of times, but I didn't. Anyway, at the weekend, I Facebook messaged one of my half-sisters and just said, how's everything going? And she's like, yeah, everything's weird. It's, you know, it's okay. How's everything going? I said, yeah, it's weird, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay. And then about an hour later, I saw that she'd invited me to join a private Facebook group of the Rugvies. And I was like, whoa, that's some heavy. I don't know if I can do that. And I did it. And I clicked, yeah, I'm going to join this. And then I wrote a little post just saying, hello, everyone. Look, this is really awkward and I feel really bad, but... And kind of basically recapped what I just said to you, Kath.
Yeah.
And I said, look, I'm really sorry. These are the reasons that I didn't get in touch with you when I was 15. And these are the reasons I didn't stay in touch with you after the funeral. And I'm really sorry. And I would love to be part of the family. And I hope, you know, and I got so many really lovely messages from everyone, Kath, from... my uncle Huey sent me a private message saying, it's done. It's all done. Everything is all done. You're welcome back. It's great to have you. I was like, whoa, man.
What did you think was going to happen?
I don't know. I thought they would judge me. I thought some of them would be like, oh, geez, is this dick? I thought, because my reasons for not staying in touch were not particularly valid.
No, there are 15-year-old boy hurt 15-year-old boys' reasons.
Yeah, and also, but then also the stuff, you know, after the funeral and stuff, there were reasons that I didn't stay in touch that I explained. I'm not going to explain here because it's not fair on certain people.
Yeah.
But they were really lovely, and then loads of like cousins and people I don't really know, and second cousins and stuff, just replied saying, it's nice to have you on board. Welcome back. And so I got like a family again. Isn't that insane? I've got a family again. And I don't see my mum's side of the family. So my family has been me and my sister.
Yeah.
And that's it. And her kids and my kids. That's it. You know, now I'm divorced. I don't, you know. So suddenly I've got a family again. And it's lovely.
Yeah. It's nice to feel like you belong, isn't it?
Yeah. And I forgot to tell you about it the other day, and it feels dumb, right?
No, it's not dumb at all. That's brilliant. That's really brilliant. And it sounds brilliant. Like they've been waiting for you.
Yeah, and it all came about, you know, it all kind of peaked because I was going insane last week and because I wanted to get really high. I wanted to get high.
You didn't want to get high.
No.
It's because you felt that hole in your soul.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's
something
what it is.
Was missing.
I think it's missing.
This lockdown stuff and this coronavirus is scary, huh? It's really scary.
Yeah. Everyone that felt lonely before is made to feel even more lonely now.
Yeah.
And that includes people who are, you know, not necessarily on their own. It's...
I miss you, mate. You're my best friend. And this is the longest we've gone without jumping out of each other and scaring each other and making them spill hot drink down our front.
Yeah. It's not forever. I have to remember that. And also, let's remember that next time we decide we're going to have a bust up.
Can I ask you a really personal question?
No.
Did I just make you cry?
Yeah, a bit.
Yes! This is Talk Radio!
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
I make Catherine cry with a made-up story.
Oh!
I'm joking. Let's go. Imagine, though. Let's go to Gareth. Good evening, Gareth.
Hello, Ian. I've just been having a tough time. I was nearly section today.
You would say that again, Gareth. You were what today?
I was nearly sectioned under a mental health act.
Oh, what happened?
I've been getting into OCD, sexual thoughts. Let's just say they weren't nice, and they were like OCD, and it was like...
Who's helping you? Because you need help.
The mental health team were doing it in the community.
Right, okay. You need help because I don't know, maybe getting sectioned would be the best thing for you at this precise moment in time. I don't know. But you need help, and you need someone to give you something to focus on. Because you can't keep carrying on like this, Gareth. You're a good man, and you deserve better than this. And these are weird times. Everyone's going a little bit, I'm going to use a word that is not, you're not supposed to say anymore, but everyone's going a bit nuts, right? And people who are already nuts are going even more nuts. And you need help, man, and you need focus, and you need a program or a plan that you can follow on a daily basis that will bring you peace.
Yeah. But they're doing it in the community, and they says that it would only get, if it was on the, there's no beds at the moment, unfortunately, and that's just the way it is in Northern Ireland. They says the next one would have been Belfast, but anyway, hopefully the thoughts stop, because it's like a constant...
Do you meditate, Gareth?
No, I've never.
Right. Have you got a smartphone, Gareth?
Yeah.
Right. I want you to download an app. It's called Insight Timer. INSIGHT Timer. What's it called?
Insight Timer.
You get it? It's free. It's got loads of different meditations on there, right? And what's great about it is you can pick the theme. Some of them are a little bit hokey and a bit cheesy. But you can pick the theme, depression, stress, anxiety, fear, success. You can pick the theme. What's great is you can pick the time. You can pick between 0 and 5 minutes, 5 to 10, 15 to... You can pick how long you want, and you can pick the theme. And I've started using it. I've had it recommended to me by a friend, and I started using it yesterday, Sunday. And it's brilliant. It's brilliant. It is brilliant. And it just might calm you down a little bit.
Yeah, because I think I've let the thought snowball and do something that it's not.
Well, this is what you need to stop doing. You need to accept, you need to realise that you are not your thoughts, and that thoughts are just leaves on a river, and you, instead of focusing on the leaves, just let the leaves go down the river, okay? Let those thoughts go. You need to, I would suggest that this meditation app is great. I would also suggest you need to be in daily contact with your mental health team.
Yeah. That's what the plan is. Anyway.
Before you hurt somebody and before you hurt yourself.
Yeah.
You're going to hurt somebody, you're going to hurt yourself. And you have to stop.
Yeah. Thank you very much for...
Thank you for sharing that, man. And I wish you nothing but the best of luck, Gareth. I'm sorry I'm being a little bit brief. Just we're coming to the end of the show and I want to squeeze in at least two more calls. You take care of yourself, my friend. And you call anytime you want. Thank you, Gareth. Let's go to Tom. Good evening, Tom.
Hey, hi, Ian and Kath.
Hello, Tom.
You were talking about family, and it was Gareth just then.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because the words and actions of our parents mean so much when we're growing up, when we're younger. And sometimes, I'm not saying for you two, but sometimes if you have a lousy time, it carves into people's DNA, and it's very difficult to shake that. It's very difficult to... become confident later on in life.
Yeah, definitely.
I suppose that is the answer, to try and just replace the bad with the good.
Well, we can when we get to a certain level of awareness and maturity, we can unpick a lot of the stuff. But here's the thing, because I don't know if you've got kids, Tom, but I've got kids, and so I like to think I'm doing everything that my parents did wrong. My parents were lovely, but they were kids. My mum was 19 when she had my sister, and 21, 22 when she had me. They were kids, and they weren't great as parents, if I'm completely honest. But I know. That I'm getting things wrong with my kids, and in 30 years' time, my kids are going to be on radio or in therapy or on YouTube or whatever, going, well, my dad, you know, did this, and he was an idiot, and, you know, and I guess we just have to do our best. But yeah, it's funny, it's interesting how much of what we are as adults is kind of locked in by the time we're, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old.
It's so true. We learn to walk, talk, read and write within a very short duration of time. And as Kath will tell you, it's not easy to learn a language, but we learn a language in about 4 or 5 years. So we're taking it in. We're just sponges. And if there's negative people around, we're going to take in negative energy. And
Tell me about it. Well, this is why Kath is working in a different building to me right now, Tom, because there's too much negative.
Oh, my God. I'm just a burning ball of negativity.
I said a little prayer about when you two got together on Three Counties. I thought, please get them a show together. Please get them together. Yeah. And it came true.
Tom, you are the oracle, the wise oracle.
You wished this.
You made this nightmare. Tom, I've got to move on because we're running out of time. Thank you for your patience. The app that I mentioned, people are asking, it's called Insight Timer, and it's free, and it's brilliant. Some of the meditations on there are a little bit cheesy, but I've done three, and two of them have been awesome. And there's loads and loads and loads on there. Insight Timer. Yes, Kevin.
Hi, Ian. Good one. Good luck to Gareth there, by the way.
Yeah, with the definitely.
Insight Timer thing. Don't know if I'll do that. But no, just a quick question, really. I've just thought to myself, how's the setup at your end then? I'm trying to sort of envisage this COVID thing. How are you managing the work thing? So, like, you're both not in the same room, I take it.
So my setup is this, right? I went, because for a while, Kath was doing the show in my house. So I found an old desk in my garage. I've brought it into my living room, and I've turned this into my studio. I currently have 2 microphones clipped to the desk on stands. One of them is not plugged in. I have my laptop, which is what I'm using to see all of the calls, because I am logged into the computer that is in the London studio. I have a mixing desk in front of me. The mixing desk is connected to my PC, and I'm streaming through my PC to the studio. Kath is doing the same thing, but on a smaller scale with 1 microphone and 1 laptop, and she can't see the phone calls in the same way that I can see the phone calls.
Oh, I see. But you two are connected in some way, are you?
Well, connected via London. So I'm beaming into London, Kath is beaming into London, and I'm hearing her through the magic of Sam in London.
Yeah.
That's got to be a bit weird.
It's weird.
How long have you had to do that for then?
Since lockdown. Four weeks?
Oh, right. You have literally been doing it for that long.
Yeah, but this is actually better because before we had a massive delay. Oh, shut up.
I miss you, Kath, but I prefer, it saves, and Kev, I've got to go because I want to speak to Daryl Morris quickly, but I'm saved a 2-hour drive into London, which was actually, that turns out that was the really exhausting part of this silly job. Now, Daryl, your setup's slightly different. Are you still doing it in a studio or are you doing it from home now?
I am in a studio. Yes, I'm in a very tiny, tiny, teeny, tiny studio at a little production company at Media City in Salford by Manchester, which happens to be about 10 minutes away from my house. I live literally 10 minutes away.
And I'm 10 minutes away from where I was born.
All right, Kath, we get it.
Where
from
was that?
North.
Where was that again?
Oh,
Hope
Jesus,
Hospital is now
Shut
Manchester.
Up, Northern people are talking.
Salford Royal, is it?
No. Yeah, Salford Royal. I live not far from there at all. Yeah, I live in Monton, which is not far at all. No. They call it Monton Carlock. It's quite posh. I'm doing it from this little studio, which is 10 minutes from home. Now, obviously, I usually have a 2-hour commute down to London on a Monday and then come back on a Friday and blah, 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 blah. And then you know what London's like. It's like, you know, it's an hour in, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Regardless of where you live next door, it still somehow might take you an hour.
Oh, sorry, you're talking to me. I thought you were talking about pies and mash. Pies and...
don't get me going about pies.
Pies and gravy.
I thought that's what you...
Daryl
is coming up next. This is Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.